Hello and welcome to episode 36 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
Boring.
Eventually you run out of cool stuff to do, and you just recycle the classics, like saying it with in earnest. I mean it. We are going to be both musing and amusing today. You will be amused. You will find things to muse upon yourselves.
Oh my God.
This will be, in general, a good thing. Musing and amusing.
Thanks for that, John. That was way less boring.
Maybe we should get a new tagline. It's a new year.
No.
How about amusing and musing?
Amusing and musing? I don't think that sounds as good, actually.
It does not.
Well, it doesn't really roll off the tongue.
It's new.
Is it?
Yes.
I wonder how many people already shut off their... They're like, okay, these guys clearly have nothing to talk about.
Today we will talk about... We have some news and announcements that we're going through. We are going to touch a bit upon
the year... introduce ourselves?
Yeah, they know who we are.
I'm sorry. This is Fat Asian, and I play Legion of Everblight.
Can our New Year's resolution be a podcast that doesn't suck?
My name is Keith, and I play Signar. Well, no. I play Krix and Mercenaries.
This is Chad, and I play Torchlight.
Torchlight.
I also play the LOTOR LCG and the IKRPG.
IKRPG is so good.
This is Crump, and I play Skylanders Giants. I'm not joking either. That game's legit.
Is it better than the first one?
Yeah. You get giants. They're bigger.
We did a lot
of the
first one.
Is it more like Gauntlet?
No.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Anytime the answer to "is it more like Gauntlet" is no, is just that's just sad.
Hey, we have a guest.
They do have food that you pick up.
This is Josh. What I want to say is probably not appropriate for this podcast. So I play Mercs, I guess.
What?
I'm so curious now, but I can't ask.
I'm curious.
What makes you so curious?
Josh is just like an enigma to me. I can't understand when he's being sarcastic.
Okay.
So it sounds like. We're not playing a lot of War Machine lately.
Oh, yeah. I play Circle.
And how?
Well,
those winter doldrums.
Yeah, time of the year. We will be picking up.
We got snowed in 1 week. The shop was closed the next week because it was 2 days after Christmas. Like, it's just been.
Christmas, New Year's.
I've been playing a bunch of games.
IKRPG.
I am itching to play. I was saying that earlier. Like,
is some podcasting?
I have like a.
You want to just go play?
I was just going to play. Screw this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't podcast, I'd probably have time to play. Maybe.
All right, today we are going to talk about, we have news and announcements. We're going to dance across the year in review. We're going to talk maybe about some goals we might set for this next year. We have some mail that we may do, dojo, and then we've got an IKRPG session that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Should we do a little Hobbit review, maybe?
And we might talk about The Hobbit.
Still haven't seen it.
Nor have
I. What is wrong with you guys?
I watched Django Unchained instead, and it was probably better.
Django Unchained, it very different. But I mean, if we're comparing out of faction, then yes, it was probably slightly better of a film.
What?
God, this
Hobbit was really good.
Django was incredible.
I heard
anyway.
That Keith almost died from laughter.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Oh man.
I love laughing at inappropriate things. It's my favorite thing to do. So Quentin Tarantino, like, my favorite story about a Quentin Tarantino movie is my mom and I went to see Kill Bill together.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other, it was like late in its run. And the only other people in the theater were like some kids down front. And then like this 50-ish year old couple right
Senior
behind
couple.
Us.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, it was... At one point when she was killing, like, the 90-some dudes and blood was spurting everywhere, Mom and I just burst out laughing, and this couple behind us was like, oh, well, I never. It was like, which only made me laugh harder. So Tarantino tickles my funny bone. But anyway.
Yeah, because his movies are hilarious.
They are.
They are funny. He has excellent, excellent comedic timing.
All right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop interrupting,
like,
Keith.
Yeah.
News and announcements. Let's begin. Play It Painted has now officially kicked off as it is the new year, 2013. Happy New Year, everyone.
It is actually the first of the year.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
Crazy. As we are talking right now, it is the first of the year. Play It Painted 2013. The official thread is up. I have not looked at it. So that is all I can say about it.
I've not been online for
There are some really sweet banners that you should go get if you're pledging.
He, put
he made one for each faction in two sizes, and they look sweet.
He That's did, fantastic. But the Merc one is Stannis
charging.
Yeah.
I don't want it either.
Yeah.
Stannis is awesome.
You're complaining about the banner?
It needs to be Alexia.
How dare you.
You have to find art for that. It's tricky. I can't believe you're actually like...
I mean, it's cool, but Stannis Brocker. Really? Stannis
Brocker. I don't know. He's who I think about when people say mercenaries. That's
true. It's not about it's not... who is in the art. It's...
Oh, I appreciate the effort.
I do, too. The circle one's like my favorite circle picture, which is Kaya, which is... Epic Kaya walking next to the megalith.
Hmm.
They're all very cool. It's just Stannis Brocker.
Well, Chris does amazing work.
Brian.
Why did I say Chris? Paint
I Vagrant. Have no idea, because Crump has been talking about us.
I said megalith and your brain exploded.
Brian does amazing work. So yeah. Definitely go check it out. Choose how you want to participate. We hope that everybody will. And then grab those banners, because they look pretty schmexy.
They do, actually.
Wow, they look amazing.
My favorite thing is his,
they
like...
They do look good.
Oh, my God. The Trollblood one's, like, the Fenblade officer.
Yeah.
Like, that's sweet.
Crick's one is Erebus, like, scavenging, or whatever that guy's little... Scavers is Jack, whatever that guy is.
I saw them all before they went up, and they're all beautiful.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So, yeah. Play Painted 2013. Check it out. Post in the thread. Grab the banners. Start painting. I mean, it's the year of playing painted stuff. I am... working diligently on my own painting.
I have not done anything, and I have a feeling that I'm going to really pay for this. My lists are going to be really skewed for a while, because I have some painted Legion stuff, but a lot of my lists are going to look a lot the same.
I have the ability to play Epic Asphyxius and Pita Negra, so I imagine other people will be strongly encouraging me to paint.
I have painted 5 Risen.
Amazing.
I'm still waiting for my Marine Shapers to show up. But I'm looking forward to painting those guys.
You know what? We should start having painting parties.
We should paint while we cast. Paint cast 2013.
More awful. Distracted than ever.
Yeah.
Maybe we should set up a...
Paint it casted
2013. Just a lot of heavy love, painting and cursing.
People love hearing about Keith ask for Devlin Mud.
We're out of Devlin Mud.
Dun, dun, dun. Tune in next week to find out if they got more Devlin Mud.
Any of you guys have any regret about pledging to play it painted yet?
Yeah,
it's not officially the first.
I'm actually going to end up. My only regret is that I'm going to play Mercs, because my brother has been like painting my Mercs because he wants to, and not my circle stuff, which I want him to. But
you could paint your own stuff.
Nah, this is bad. Doesn't end out well. Although I'm going to paint
my
Wolverine.
Worse than I paint. It's not possible.
I've decided. Because I haven't painted any of my constructs yet or had my brother paint them. So my Woldrath is going to be painted like Optimus Prime. And Megalith is going to be painted like Soundwave. And it's going to be...
That's like, going to be awful.
And the Rambot is going to be painted like Rumble. The little guy that comes out of Shockwave's chest. With the fists.
Yeah, I know who Rumble is.
I was clarifying for those.
He's purple. You're going to have a purple Rambot.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. And they're going to have the little like Decepticon symbols on them.
Oh, boy.
Megalith has, like, the perfect, like, chest plate for there to be, like, two disc-like things. It's going to be awesome.
Why don't you just buy some Transformers?
Because those aren't legal models. Otherwise, I would. I was talking about buying a secondary large base for the Woldrath, so anytime I'm having him advance, I was going to take that model up and put a truck down and then have him move 5 inches and then transform back out and then see things.
Make the noise every time.
Yeah, just yeah.
No, that's the Michael Bay noise. You got to make the actual Transformer noise.
I can't actually make that noise.
What is it that he says? Like, transform and roll out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Autobots transform
and roll out.
I could say that.
You could just get a soundboard.
And just have that next to like my dice and like my cards and just be like...
Why are Autobots so dumb? They're just like, oh, all these Decepticons have jets and they fly. They just kick the crap out of us. Let's drive.
Autobots enlisted the aid of dinosaurs, so you're wrong.
That did happen.
Also, Megatron was originally a gun. He couldn't even shoot himself.
Yeah,
that's also
he
true.
He would transform and Starscream and like hold him and be like, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he was originally transformed into a pistol.
A handgun.
Yeah.
Not even like...
He did have like a big scope on him. Yeah. But
it wasn't even like a walking pistol or anything. Like, it's just like he would just like fall down on the ground.
Yeah, and then
this is he would jump into the air.
Yeah. Yeah. He would jump into the air, and Starscream would like grab him out of the air and shoot with him.
Literally, his model was a Colt 45.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day,
it was with a large scope.
Yep,
it was like because Starscream needed the extra. I don't know. Like his cybernetic eyes weren't like good enough. Like there needed to be a scope on.
The best sidetrack ever.
I love that in Transformers the movie when he's like, Megatron, is that you? Here's a clue. And it's Leonard Nimoy and he just blows him away. It's awesome. Galvatron.
Oh, God.
Ah, it's sweet. Yes. See, Starscream, it vaporizes, is the best part of the whole movie.
So we've got some tournaments coming up. On January the 26th, there's going to be a 50-point Tier 4 Theme Force event in Detroit, or in the nearby suburb of Detroit that is not quite as scary.
Called Livonia.
Yep, that's the and Bulldog Chuck Elswick is going to run that one.
Yep, and that's at RIW Hobbies, yes. I think. So,
what does that stand for?
I have no clue. I just know it's RIW.
RIW runs Magic tournaments, so
yeah, they're big.
Is this where you got the taxi like guy thrown out the back?
That was my friends, and they were just like in Detroit gambling. So
that is
like
gambling.
You do.
Like you do.
You're gambling with your life when you're in Detroit. That's for sure.
Exactly.
But we're going because we love those Detroit games.
Right, sidetrack really quick. I can't remember which one it is. I think it's Scary Movie 3 with the alien invasion. And they're just like, it's like the newscast, and they're like, here's Detroit before the invasion. It's just like buildings are burning and like crimes happening everywhere. And then they're like, here's it after. And they just superimpose like three World of the Wards thing on top of it. You guys suck.
World of the what?
We're the ones that
War
suck.
Of the Worlds.
War of the
Speaking
Worlds.
Speaking of unrelated things and movie previews, you remember that preview in Django that was just like...
All of them suck.
The movie that had no discernible plot like 47 trillion actors in it? What was that called?
Movie 43.
Movie 43.
That movie looked amazing!
It doesn't have a story. It's just like, this movie stupid. Will make you feel like you're going to hell. Watch it. Because you're going to hell.
That's actually a decent pitch.
Some of the bits were funny. There were definitely funny bits in there.
Yeah, the beginning was the greatest. And then everything else was
with just the guy talking to his basketball team.
What's that guy's name?
I knew you were going to ask me that. He was the same guy who played the Tony Stark's friend
in the first
in one of them.
Oh,
Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle.
Yeah, there you go.
Or the other one.
There was the other one.
Oh, the guy the much worse Don Cheadle.
Yeah, Don Cheadle was in the second one. It was the guy who was in the first one.
Yeah,
Something Terrence or...
Yeah, Terrence Newman? No, that's somebody.
Let's continue the podcast and I will look it up using Wolverine.
Okay. Anyway, this movie just had... It was just infinite little bits as far as I can tell. And he was... This guy, whatever his name was talking to his basketball team. It was just a bunch of, you know,
We shouldn't talk about this.
Yeah. Sounds like Fingertips the movie.
Potentially racist.
Boom, they might be Giants reference.
This podcast is not good tonight.
Yeah, you're going to have a disclaimer at the front of this, right? That's like...
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, well,
disclaimer time.
We'll just do it out of order because that's the nature of tonight's podcast.
And then Lance can totally fix it.
You should cut it out here and put it at the front, and then it should be here, too. Just okay. So they can see, you know...
Do you want to do it or
how organized we are.
I'll do it.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a disclaimer. We really don't have anything to talk about. We're going to pretend like we do War Machine related, but... There's not much War Machine stuff going
on. Sorry, you have to do this over again because Crump is an idiot and decided to talk in the middle of that.
But it's Terrence Howard. That's important.
Yeah, that's...
super important.
I wanted to say Terrence Howard.
Well, you should have.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. We have nothing to talk about. Period. War Machine related. So probably won't be as much War Machine content in this podcast. We have some fun stuff to talk about. Some mail.
Some dojo.
Some dojo.
A la Crippled System.
Right. But we're not copying them. We're just, like them, have nothing important to say.
You have sealed our fate.
I feel like if I travel with you guys, I'm going to get knifed no matter where I go with you guys.
Andy's going to send a bomb to Iowa.
I feel like I can never go back to Wisconsin.
Please. Oh, come on. That was a joke.
Iowa's not this bad, everybody.
It's just John.
It's just John.
What? This is exactly as bad as everybody in Iowa is. They're not going to believe it. They've all heard the podcast. You guys give me this kind of crap all the time.
It's just John. It's just John.
It's just John.
Yeah. We have 4 out of 5 in agreement. That, it's just John.
That actually should be the next Muse on Mini shirt. It's just
it's
John.
Just John.
Oh. Okay, so we're in the middle of our disclaimer.
Right. So
we're a little off base tonight.
There's not a lot going on in the War Machine world that we can really talk about, and we haven't been able to play because our shop has been closed quite a bit. So we've been playing things like IKRPG. So we'll talk about that, which is actually pretty super exciting because we started our second campaign already. So now we have two going.
Yarp.
I am not a part of either of these.
And I didn't get invited, shame, and I hate Doc. You all. Jerks.
Awkward. Moving on.
We have a tournament on March the 16th, which will be the next Mayhem Cup.
I really need to start getting that organized.
I've been told that it's not on Mother's Day or any other important events.
I don't think so.
It's on St. Patrick's Day, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's a good holiday. That's a drinking holiday.
Beanish is going to come for sure.
Oh, Beanish is going to die.
Yeah, Beanish should be dead.
Beanish is literally going to die.
Right, sidetrack.
There's a bar right down the road from Mayhem.
So if you want to come see Beanish literally die, come to the Mayhem Cup at March 16th.
Well, also, you'll probably get to see, oh my God, Mayhem Cup, what was that, in May? Yeah, it was May. Beanish was here, and he had a few too many to drink at the bar right down the road.
Uh-huh.
And then, so they're trying to get his keys from him, and he shoved them down his pants.
Is this a story we should be?
Yeah, no, this is a true story. This is a good story. He shoved his keys down, and I hear, like, this screaming out in the parking lot, and I'm walking out, and then Beanish is like, I'm getting raped! You guys are raping me! You're violating me! Because they're trying to reach into his pants to get his keys, and he's running all over the place. Like, it was the most awful thing.
Are you sure we should share this story?
That's a great story.
Okay.
Also, as a special side note for our listeners, Beanish does not wear underwear.
Right. And we'll show you a picture of his manhood.
Please don't ask me how I know that. Because thankfully, I've blacked it out of my memory. Other than the subsequent information, how I learned it is now lost, thankfully.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know how. I just know the fact. The fact has stuck with me as a caution to myself in the future times.
Oh my God. Anyway, this is going to be an official War Machine Weekend Invitational Qualifier. I've heard from Texas. They're bringing a bunch of people. We'll probably have people from 8 or 9 states. We'll probably have between 60 and 90 people. It'll probably be the biggest qualifier outside of a con and bigger than most of the con qualifiers for War Machine Weekend. We'll have a ton of prize support, which is our tradition. It's going to be fun. It'll be 2 days of gaming. It'll be all day Saturday and Sunday, and we'll be hanging out Friday night doing board games while I set up. So, yeah. Come out, hang out, plan on spending the weekend with us. Should be sweet.
Yes. All right. There aren't really any announcements. I haven't seen anything up on the site worth talking about.
It's really a sleepy time.
Holidays.
Yeah.
God, I hope that in a week or two, they just start pumping out the spoilers. Gargantuan spoilers. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, Gargantuan's is coming out in March.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's getting closer and closer.
Yeah, that Mayhem Cup is only like 2 months away.
Yeah.
3.
Holy crap. Yeah. No, 3?
January to February to March. We're about 2.5. 2 and some change. 2 and a week or so.
2 and 2 weeks. Yeah, okay.
So, this year in review.
I have one more announcement.
Proceed.
Last podcast I mentioned I'm running a tournament on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
In Ames, Iowa. It's still posted on the big boards, but I'm just throwing this out there again. Ames, Iowa, Mayhem. It'll be a 50-point SR 2013. 2-list event, 1-list required.
I don't know if I'll have a painted list by then.
If you want to meet a lot of really cool people, it's definitely that'll be a good one to go to. It's not a super competitive meta yet, though, so don't come expecting to be blown away.
I'm going
to
be there.
Should be fun.
Oh, all right. Never mind, John.
I'm expecting around, like, 20-ish people.
He's going to be there.
With my only 2 painted lists.
Yeah, which are both ball breakers.
You guys want to judge
Denegra
for
Pirates
me?
And Epic Lich?
Yep.
I'll judge for you, Crump. I don't play.
I am so glad I'm not playing, because I don't want to do that. Deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
I don't think I have stuff painted that I can deal with that, which
those
is really unfortunate.
Poor Ames people. Huh.
They'll be fine.
It's as if dozens of voices cried out at once.
Yeah. Suddenly silenced.
I'll just bring Band-Aids and
Denny Pirates and he's fixers. Well, I guess they should just see how bad it can really get. And Keith will be the one to show him because he won't even take it easy on him. He'll just be like, yeah, I'm just going to punish you. Playing you is the worst.
But anyway, you guys should come.
Yeah, come get smoked by Keith.
Okay, so there you go. Anyone deciding to come, be sure that you have a really good net deck against the Niagara Pirates and Epic Lich.
I don't know what you do.
It's hard to do. But
Party on, Garth.
What'd you say? Party on what?
Party on, Garth.
Party on, Wayne.
That reminds me. We played an amazing party game at Judy's.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's called Title Timeout or something like that. They give you like this stack of... There's hundreds of cards that have all these titles of books, movies, and songs. And you have to know the exact title.
Okay.
But the first thing they do is they deal out 40 cards to everybody that's out there. Okay. And then they deal them an additional two. And they build a 40-card deck, and everybody takes two of the cards out of the title. So you've seen, like, 6 to 8 titles. They shuffle up the deck. It's 30-second rounds, and you have to basically play catch fries in the first round. In the second round, you have teams, right? So people try to guess or whatever. In the second round, you play password, basically, where you can only say one word to try and get them to guess. And you've heard all of the answers, so you know what the answers are.
Ah.
But it gets really crappy, really goofy sometimes, because people will be like, just whatever.
Snuffle up a guess.
Yeah, well, like Mandy, my wife, she was she was trying to get me to say Brazil. So she's like... what am I wearing? And it's a country. And she's like pointing at her bra, and I'm like, bra, Brazil? Right? And
that's not password.
What's that? No, that first round
is... Oh, that was in the first round.
Yeah, in the second round, she's just pointing at her boobs, and she's like, halter. And I'm like, Brazil! Boom! The third round is all charades. You can't say any words, and you get one guess.
That is charades.
Right. So, anyway, the game is called, like, Time's Up. It's, like, the number one rated party game on BoardGameGeek, and I can see why, because it is just, it's hilarious fun. Like, how do you give a one-word clue for The Odyssey? Or how do you charade that?
Well, it depends on
my one-word clue would be Iliad.
Yeah. Or my favorite
Homer.
One. Was one that Josh did.
It's almost cheating.
He did Men in Black, and he had to straight it out. So he's like got his arm waving like he's got an elephant dong between his legs, and then he's pointing at the black on something.
Oh,
and so he's
my.
Like, Men in Black! You know, like, oh my gosh,
That's horrible.
Yeah, it was funny. I don't know. Guess you had to Anyway, that was an aside.
And...
Whoa, where... I don't even know where I was. Like, my ability
Good night, everybody.
my ability to bring this podcast back on track is, there's a value. Like, I have X back on track factor, and we've gone, like, 14X.
All I heard from that was black elephant penis, so.
I thought it was going to be more racist than it was.
You're disappointed?
Yeah.
You're disappointed
I was let down by the level
like,
of racism.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can see how maybe that you would have been expecting that.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Yeah.
Year in review, I think.
Right.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about this year in review, our thoughts, perhaps, what we enjoyed.
Should we just start?
Memorable moments.
From the beginning, where I think we kicked off last year with TempleCon, basically.
Yes.
I mean, we could say that we kicked off by starting a podcast and going to Detroit in December. I mean, that wasn't really this past year, but...
That was sort of... I mean, that was when No Crutch 2012 was conceived.
Yeah, Chuck. That was when Chuck tricked us all.
Was it Chuck who tricked us all or Jake?
I don't know. No, it was Chuck.
I'm pretty sure it was John, actually, that tricked
us
all.
Yes, it was John. It's just John.
It's just because No Crutch, the idea of No Crutch came out of, oh crap, I can't play the Avatar all year long. I'm going to get screwed. I have to level the playing field somehow.
Yes. Okay.
There wasn't that much thought put into it.
So
I'm not that devious.
Jake and I.
I'm pretty sure there was exactly that much thought put into it.
Jake and I traded one another. I traded away Epic Lich for Epic Lilith, Saren, and somebody
else. P-Vale.
P-Vale. I got the better of this deal.
I don't think so, Bob. Well, of course, you did end up winning.
I did okay last year.
Yeah.
Chad gave up Janissa.
I did not.
He gave up Janissa for like 2 weeks.
Crump gave up something at some point and then
and tried to change it 14 times. Yeah. Wait, no, what I really gave up was this. Trigger. Yeah.
The whole reason I got into Circle, and then 4 months later, I couldn't play the reason I got into the faction. That was fun.
You're pretty smart.
Brava. Chuck was forced to play something janky.
Immortal?
Yes.
At Adepticon?
I don't remember.
I think so. I ended up not playing the Avatar for the year, which was good.
But yeah, so No Crush 2012 turned out to be a cool thing. That was a fun weekend in Detroit, too.
Yeah.
There's the only time I've been to a... like a one or two, it was a 2-day event, I guess.
Yep.
The first time I've been to a weekend event where they did flights. Actually, the first time I've ever played in a War Machine event, they really did flights.
Yeah.
They separated out the hordes and the War Machine players and did qualifying tournaments for day two, which I thought was really neat. There are some logistical issues, like if you end up with a very skewed number of War Machine or hordes players. We had some people that day who generously went and switched. Like, I think you did.
I switched to Legion so I could show Jake how to play Evail.
How'd that go?
Right.
What's that?
How'd that go?
I did fine.
And John qualified. We all end up qualifying for day two.
Yep. And I think I got second in that tournament.
I had to play so many Crix players.
Yeah, it was like Christmas.
I played Crix in... I think I played Crix in every round.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
It was Crix on Crix.
Yep.
It was ridiculous.
That was the big... what's his name? Bokur failure of 2012.
That was the second day when I had to. I got a slam off on Van Meter that anything but a one would have won me the game. And whenever you say something like that, the natural order asserts itself and you roll a one.
Mm-hmm. And then you get really upset, slam your dice down.
I did not slam my dice down. The round immediately ended like thereafter. So it was like, right,
flip the table.
So I was like, I had, and then Chuck was like throwing down pairings, so I had to move all my stuff, and I may have somewhat brusquely jammed all my stuff together and moved it to the next table. But
you're clearly upset.
Anyway.
I'm just going to point out every time Keith melts. Oh, that's my goal.
So the year in review is over. We're done with year in review.
Oh, man. So much fun. So that was we're done with you. What that was season's beatings.
Moving on.
Moving on. The next thing we did is we went to TempleCon.
That was a blast.
For free.
Yeah, we drove, which was a brilliant idea.
I believe only one of us went to TempleCon for free.
Yeah. That's why I was the only one who said it.
the drive there idea was brilliant for the way out. It lacked some pizzazz for the way back.
What are you talking about? I drove for like 12 hours straight while everybody slept.
And we got like not 20 me. Free cookies.
Yeah, that's true.
That was on the way there.
And?
No, that was on the way back. Back.
Oh, was the it? Girl that worked at Subway
was... The entire way back, we got to hear Keith going, "You shall receive chocolate chip."
You shall receive white chocolate cheesecake.
That one was the worst.
That one actually was. It was like cherry cheesecake really or bad. Something.
Cranberries.
Yeah, yeah, cherry, yeah. Yeah, but that lady was awesome.
She threatened to kill Crump like
four
times.
Yeah, she was a bitch.
I know. No, she was great. She gave us free cookies. And we're like, well, we got – I know you're closing and stuff, but we kind of want to get sandwiches. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. And I'm like, I have one more friend, and he's always slow, and he's going to be really inconvenient, and he has a very punchable face. And then Crump walks up, and she's like, oh, he must be your friend. I can see the punchable face. I kind of want to stab him with his knife. Do you remember that? She was the best.
That's the Northeast.
Yeah.
Punchable face turns into murder something.
Oh, that was only a couple of miles out of Whitehaven.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
that was
right.
The greatest sidetrack ever.
There was you just saw the one road sign that was like one way to Whitehaven and the other way to...
Freeland.
I did not take a north-south reading on those, but you can probably guess.
That's actually the way it was set up, because we were traveling east, and when we got off, the sign pointed to the right for Whitehaven.
Oh, God. That was fantastic.
But
let's go on another 22-hour road trip.
It was really fun.
That actually was really good. I would do that again. I can't this year.
To Seattle?
Oh, more like 28.
That's more like 30.
Is it 30?
Yeah. I have the vacation time. I mean, I could do that. That actually makes it a lot cheaper than flying if we get five people in the car.
Road trip.
Road trip. The driving, I guess it kind of balances out, I guess. Because I was going to say that driving west is a lot more boring than driving east.
I disagree with that statement completely.
Well, we hit the Rockies.
That's why I said it bounces out.
Yeah. Well, and then you get to, like, the best part is the conversation. We could podcast on the road. That's totally safe, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't drive any worse. And I can't really pay less attention when I'm driving than I do now.
Uh-huh.
So.
Those are all true statements.
I don't think I have that vacation time.
Yeah, I don't either.
How much would we need? It's probably 2 days of driving.
Yeah.
And we want to be there on like Thursday.
We need at least 4 days of vacation, I think. Because you have to take off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Monday.
And I love when we talk about our vacation plans on the podcast.
You'd have to take off Monday.
Oh, yeah, because we'd be driving back.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday would be the worst day of my life.
So you're in?
I'll fly and meet you guys there.
So the Templeton team tournament.
Getting to TempleCon, though, that's something to talk about. We've got something that you wanted to throw out there, right?
Lock
and load, yeah. Not TempleCon.
Well, this is more a year in review.
TempleCon?
But I guess since we're not doing anything on any sort of subject, I was thinking about putting up a donation applet on the Muse on Minis website. Because this year, I'll be honest, I've got a lot going on financially, and I'm not going to be able to go to Lock and Load probably. And I'd like to go. And then I think some of the other guys, you guys were saying the same thing. You're feeling a little pinched.
Well, being a broke college student.
Right. Can make it a little hard.
We traveled a lot last year. And
Yeah, we did. So I feel a little bit like a sellout, which is why we haven't to this point ever put a donation site up on the website. But we figured we'd put it up. And if we got a lot of backlash and people hated it, we'd just take it back down.
Yeah, we'll just see. We would like to come to Lock and Load. If there's interest in there in sending us, I guess you could say.
For less than a cup of coffee a day.
For less than your next trip to McDonald's. You could send the Muse crew to Lock and Load.
Right.
I love that it's on this podcast that you're asking for donations. This podcast that's been nothing but rambling, non-war machine talk to start off.
If you want us to come back on topic.
Yeah. If you'd like us to have some War Machine talk to talk about.
At
we're
least
holding
by
the War Machine talk ransom.
I tell you what, if we if you make and I don't know what the number is, but make a decent sized donation, we'll let you give us a shout out to put on like D6G does.
Yeah, you write us a paragraph.
Yep.
For John to read out embarrassing
for
things.
Their choice of person to read.
Okay.
So if they want Keith to do his crappy Asian voice.
Oh, yeah.
Or Crump to admit that he's a dirty Magic player.
Well, I've admitted that like 500 times. How many times do you want me to admit that?
I've John to speak a paragraph of solid French.
Now I know what I'm going to see.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a lot
of
that.
Wait, can we take donations to have John actually learn French? Like get him Rosetta Stone. Someone should send him Rosetta Stone French in the mail.
Duolingo's free. Duolingo's free.
I hate you guys so much right now.
Anyway, that'll be something that'll come up in the future.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the site, and there'll just be a little link. That's actually one of the reasons why there's now advertising on Muse. I never mentioned this before, but for the next year, I'll be on a little bit tighter of a budget, and I need Muse to be self-sufficient because to this point, I've just funded it. So the advertising, the ads that are on the site now just simply pay for hosting. And a little bit more, but not much.
Yeah.
So that's why they're there.
All the rest goes to this sweet sound.
This amazing professional studio.
With the heater running in the background.
I hope you guys can hear me over the sound of the professional heater in the professional studio.
Why do we invite you back to this podcast?
You said you weren't going to, and then you said, hey, you want to come podcast on Tuesday night? And I was like, yeah, I'll stick it to you again.
Why isn't he here every time?
I don't know. I don't know if I could. I don't know if my id could take it. Did I do that right?
No, you didn't, but that's okay.
Is it the ego?
My ego could take it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Your review, TempleCon. My favorite part about TempleCon was my wife came with us. And she was amazing that whole weekend.
She was awesome.
Did she play?
No, but she did things like get us cookies and wish us luck and go get us drinks.
She was a big part of Team Stop Keith from Burning the Building Down.
Yeah, that was SimpleCon for me.
Special shout out to Crump for preventing homicide.
Yeah.
My favorite part of TempleCon was every time Chuck interacted with Crump.
Oh yeah,
just be like from across the room. Chuck would just be like drinking like a bottle of water or whatever, and it would run out, and he'd just be like, "Well, this is BS. Where's Crump?" And then from across the room, you'd hear Crump, Crump, get over here. Give me a bottle of water.
No, the worst was
like, "What? Screw you, Chuck." And he'd be like, "Crump, you went to TempleCon for free. Give me a bottle of water."
Oh, my God. The worst parts were, like, not the direct trolling like he was doing like that, but just I'd be playing in tournaments and, like, occasionally just the chair that I was sitting on was just gone. And, like, my opponent was just like, "That guy's taking your chair." And I'd, like, look to the left and I'd be like, "God, son of a..." Chuck took, like, four of my chairs.
That is truly brilliant. That is brilliant.
I love Chuck. Oh, man, he is the best.
My infantry charges your infantry.
That was a... there was a game I was playing, my Denegra Pirates list, against...
Haley.
Against an epic Haley. This was right near the end. It actually might have been the very last round.
Of the 35-point.
Oh, no, 50-point. 50-point. 50-point steamroller that... Pagani, myself...
Chili Winners.
Chili Winners, and another...
Jamie.
And Jamie P. all qualified for Masters in.
You all ducked each other all the way to the
Yes, final. we got to the second to the last round. I had played Jamie in a previous round. He got in on SOS. But it was like me, Pagani, and Chili all, like, we were powwowing. We're like, "How many undefeateds are there?" And they're like, "Three." Or there's six. And I'm like, "Well, there's three of us, so the odds of us all dodging each other are abysmally bad." And then pairings went up, and we're all like, "Yay, none of us have played!" And then we all won, which was pretty... Or no... Did Chili not?
No, he did.
He did.
You guys all won. You guys got in, and then your strength of schedule carried Jamie P in.
That was right.
Chad and I just qualified this first day.
Right.
Which is much easier,
like
by
pros.
The way.
It was. Yep. It was. If I had managed that, we would have gone to New York.
Yeah. I will never forgive you for that.
I might not forgive myself.
That's what you get for...
For rolling ship captain crew for seat three instead of seat two or one and getting excited about it. Yep. I know I got kicked in the nuts by karma.
Yes, I'm going to get to club baby seals all day long. This is going to be the best thing ever. Oh, man. That the team tournament was probably the funnest tournament I've played in just because I love playing on a team, and you guys are two of my best friends in the world. So
yeah, team tournaments are.
Yeah, that was probably the best team tournament experience ever.
What it feels like to be the fourth wheel.
Yeah.
Went to TempleCon for free.
Yeah. Shut up.
Actually, being the fourth wheel was sweet. I got to borrow Key's Epic Lich to play in a Theme Force event. Oh, my God. It's so unfair.
Did you get to live both of Keith's dreams?
I got
dreams,
to live like, every dream forever. Here's what I did in that tournament. I turned a Phoenix into a... What was the painted jack that we had available?
Cedar.
Because it was a painted required.
It might have been just like a Slayer.
Yeah, I think it was a Slayer. It was painting required, and he's just like, "These are the only jacks I have painted that aren't in the list. Like, that aren't characters." So I was just like, "This one turns into like something awful." I think it was a Slayer. But anyway, I turned a Phoenix into a Slayer, which isn't that sweet.
You got Dark Industries.
Yeah. I played against a troll player with Burrowers and got to just put like four clouds down.
Oh, my God.
And kill every burrower, because they came up in a cloud of mustard gas. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
and
wait,
the last
you can't
one,
put four clouds down.
However many I could put. I don't
if
remember.
He gets a soul, he can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to get souls on that guy, too.
And there was one game I played against a Signar player who had I think it was like Storm Now and something, and I let my minions grow, chuck the spear.
You and said then, that there was like a, there was like, they were like all bunched up in like this giant like cluster formation.
Oh,
and there was,
the death knell.
And there was like a gap. There was this tiny, tiny, tiny little gap in the middle so that you could see like the guy in the very, very center of this like cluster.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got like the POW 12 blast, or POW 12 blast on the death knell and got like 10 souls from it.
Yeah, what's the base POW on it?
10, so it's blast 5, and then every
Yeah, it was a POW 20 death knell.
You got 15 people underneath that?
Wait, what? No, it's base 10?
Yeah, base 10. So you got 10 under it. So the blast damage was power 15.
Yeah. Well, it's actually not blast. It's just plus 1 to damage for each one.
Yes,
there, so.
Actually, that's what happened.
Yeah, because they auto-killed.
Saying POW 20 death now.
Yeah. So, it's POW 10 plus 10 on the damage roll. So it's POW 10, so the direct is 20, the blast is 15.
So I also gained 10 souls.
Yeah, because that's what I remember is you were telling Keith about this, and he was doing the math, and he was just like, "Oh, my God, that auto-kills. How are you, like, living all my dreams?" That's just sweet. Like, yeah, you're like, and I'm going to throw my spear, and then I'm going to get 10 souls. And they're like, don't you need to roll dice for that? And you're like, no.
I need to roll the die on the first thing.
I hit. Give me my 10 souls.
It's like so stupid.
In the team tournament,
they're just like chips, just drag them over.
Yeah.
In the team tournament, we won every game except for until we got to the last round, the undefeated round. In the very last round, we got to play Team Unfair, which was
Unfair.
Flanzer, JVM, and Watt.
Yep.
I almost beat Jake in that.
I almost beat Flanzer.
Yeah.
I peed down my leg.
John peed down his leg. That was so fun, though. Like, when we went undefeated all the way up to the final round, and then...
And so did they.
We were sort of unknown at that point in time, I think-ish.
Lesser known.
But, like, I mean, Jake and Watt and Flanzer know us. So
yeah.
We were like, this is going to be...
This is going to be a good game.
This is going to be a brawl.
And it was a brawl. It was fun.
There's some really good games on the way up, too. Even in the third seat.
So, do you remember, I know I shared a story about a guy that I played with P. Krios on Epic Denny.
Mm-hmm.
And after the game, he said to me, that was the most unfun game of War Machine I've ever played.
Oh, the Epic Denny players.
Yeah, but he came up to me. Yeah, like he was complaining about it, and he didn't have the best attitude. But I give him a lot of credit because he came and found me at War Machine Weekend. And he said he realized that... you know, he had kind of an issue, and then he was really working on it, and so I just wanted to give a shout-out to him. I'm not going to mention any names, but he really turned it around, so good for him.
I respect that.
Do too.
I have really big anger issues when it comes to this game sometimes, so I know what it's like.
I'm perfect.
Uh-huh.
Well, and I'll be honest, P. Krios plus Zealots is a really negative play experience if you're playing Krix.
Yes, it can be, certainly.
Well, I'm not sure it's ever going to get worse than the dark day that I got espionaged 5 times by Keith, but
yeah, still won that game.
I still do not understand how a game lasts to the point where you can espionage 5 times
and then lose.
I mean, the losing is mind blowing, but like, I just don't understand like espionage 5 times. Like,
it's like time walking.
Did you just like run her up and like espionage, but like none of your army's like in her command range?
Well, and then she gets to move herself.
No, I mean, I assumed you did.
Much of the army was in the command range. It's just that when engaged things hit champions that don't accomplish very much.
All right. Champions are champions.
So the key to breaking espionage is champions.
Especially when you can't charge. Yeah.
Were you playing Grisello?
Yeah. And then he kept black oiling, and it was just awful. Yeah. Because you black oiled, like, the one time that you, it was like the second espionage, I was like, all right, she's effing dead. I'm just gonna Gristle's just gonna go up there and like just yell her to death, like, you know, whatever.
Then Garmin's like,
bleep. And Garmin's like, nope. Just like,
yeah. So she just keep walking up, espionaging, and then moving herself backwards.
So how did you win that game?
Well, my last espionage,
by not quitting, actually.
Yeah, my last espionage. My whole plan was to crush his spirit and have him quit, and he didn't.
I was like maybe this close to just being like, I. Yeah.
But I mean, like, what was it
my
like? You would do like one
or two. Espionage was catch Haley with espionage to move Haley forwards and charge Grisel. Because I was down to that.
Okay.
And I got her to like 2 with no
you
transfer.
You a really good chance.
How did you not kill Anastasia through 5 espionage?
And like, my bomber was throwing bombs at her. And like, Grisel did get a spray on her once, and I just didn't. She's got high defense, so I just, you know.
Just one of those ridiculous.
Miss, bomber blast damage leaves her at 2. Those sorts of things.
Yeah. No, the bomber, like, tagged her once, and I rolled, like, a 4 on the boosted damage roll.
Brilliant.
And then.
Tactical maneuvers.
Well, no, and then it was. That ended up sucking for me, like, in more than one ways, because then it was just like, not only is she not dead, Keith was like, oh, crap. Arcane shield on Anastasia. I was like,
why?
Like, and then between
arcane shield and D cell,
between arcane shield and D cell, she's like basically immune to blast damage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was just like,
I put her armor like 16.
Yeah. I was just like, oh god,
amazing.
It was the worst. It was the worst game. Oh man,
actually, you look like.
How did I not quit that game?
I did not know.
You should stop talking about it. You look like you're getting upset.
He's breaking out in sweats.
Yeah.
Oh, and then what else happened? I had a Throlg that I was like, he's going to clean up. Like, he was, like, tying up, like, 4 or 5, like, steelheads. I was like, he's going to clean up that side of the table. Like, he's going to activate and kill 3 steelheads, and then the other 2 are not going to do anything to him. And then he's going to kill them, and then he's going to start walking around. And he was just like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And then the steelheads were like, you know, go for his eye. He just exploded. It was like,
It was quite a game.
So, yeah, TempleCon ended up being me, Keith, and Chad all made the top 16. So that was cool. I got to watch Keith play probably one of the best games I've seen you play.
Against Pagani?
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Yeah, that was a really fun game to watch.
That was a really good game.
I was playing Epidemic.
You were. And that was Chili bought pizza for everybody.
Again? Oh, that was the start of it.
This, yeah.
That was the start of it.
So, yeah, that was amazing. That guy, Chili Winners, is probably my favorite person in the world just because he wears Muzan mini shirts and gets people to ask him if he's fat Asian.
And Taylor Swift shirts.
Yes.
Then you can tell it's Chili.
He's very nice.
He is probably the nicest Texan.
In all of Texas.
He's nicer than a lot of...
I don't know. T-Swift is pretty nice.
He's nicer than a lot of Iowans.
Just what? John.
Just John.
Call back.
Maybe you forgot. Do you remember in 2010, War Machine Weekend, somebody, and I'm not going to say names, it was me, won Best Sport. And it wasn't because I was a douche.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe a little bit. But
didn't you just call everybody round eyes and swear at them?
And crackers, too.
Ah.
For some reason, everyone was just...
Was tickled by this. Yeah. It's charming.
Oh, he's so endearing.
Was it like, just John.
Was it like white man's guilt? Is that why you got the...
Yeah, that's totally
the word. White man's guilt.
Yeah. That was 100% it. Carl
was like, oh, my eyes are round.
Carl,
what have I done?
Carl's tried to revoke that like a couple times now.
Really?
He's tried.
This wasn't 2020.
Don't stop trying,
review,
Carl.
John.
Keep it up.
I'm just saying, I'm not a douche.
Counts it as one of the biggest mistakes of his life, probably. I never should have given.
On his deathbed, he'll be regretting it.
Why?
Oh, the highlight for me at TempleCon was when Pagani and I decided upon which matchup we were playing, because we just manned it up and did it like girls and talked about it on the way to and from the bathroom.
Oh, man, Pagani is so sweet. I think he's playing Legion this year.
Really?
Yeah, so now Jake, him, and I are all playing Legion
He jumped off the rep train already?
Yep. That didn't take long. I think he realized... It's my fault. Because he said, ha-ha, you're playing Menoth, right? I'm switching to red. How do you like me now? And I'm like, that's okay. I'm switching to Edelith. And he just went sad face.
You're not switching to Epic Lilith, though.
No, because Jake promised me he'd make a shirt that said, hi, I'm going to try and stop the range game. Here's Edelith and put my picture on it. Douche.
Yeah, that is pretty douchey to try and get people to play away from guns and then go to Edelith. I agree.
No, I was talking
tremendously
about...
Tremendously douchey.
Anyway.
Worthy of winning a douchemanship award.
If only there were such a thing.
Well, you guys are running a tournament, so...
Yeah. Oh, you know, we forgot to talk about... Well, anyway, that was TempleCon. I'll just talk about the big cons. I guess we don't talk about all the little stuff we did.
I would probably not remember very much.
We've been talking about this for, like, what, a half hour already, and we're only into February?
February. We've made it to February.
Yep. April was Adepticon? Or I think it was April.
Yes. Yes. Adepticon.
You know what I remember about Adepticon? What
was that?
It was so sweet. So, so sweet getting diced up by you on like one in a thousand.
I played that game brilliantly.
We were in Masters. We were both undefeated. We get paired up. And you love playing against Menoth.
I was so screwed.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. Oh, that was a big part of the entire direction of the year was the Signar Moe. Oh,
yeah.
When did that happen?
Right after TempleCon, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't remember who I talked to at TempleCon that was playing Signar. Oh, it was Billy and one of the other Texas guys who'd recently quit Signar. Nick. They both recently quit Signar.
Chili also quit.
Maybe Nick hadn't. But Chili and Billy had recently quit Signar. Because they'd come to the conclusion that it simply couldn't win against things like when things like Terminus existed, and I was a little bit skeptical at that point in time. And then I was just like putting my feelers out and touched upon the Privateer Press forums and noticed that there was a similar conclusion to be had there, which was that Signar was terrible.
But worded much more mopily.
Right. And then we did an episode where we said, Stignar, and that kind of sort of became a thing for a while.
It was awesome.
That basically started Keith on the Stignar bus all year long.
Yep. That's when I was like, screw it. I'm all in playing Stignar. I got some things incorrect in the early things, but I think I apologized sufficiently.
You did.
For that.
I still remember. There's no better way to light a fire under Keith's butt than to tell him he can't do so. So if you tell him he can't win with Stignar,
won't work if you tell me I can't win with Kador or Retribution or any of the other factions that I don't want to play.
Keith, can you win with P. Magnus? I don't think you can win with P. Magnus.
Neither do I.
That's easy.
That's legit.
Moving on.
He's resourceful.
That was a big influence in the direction of the year.
Yeah, that was a moving and shaping for my year anyway.
Mine too. I had a lot of fun beating you around.
So bad against Protectorate.
So much fun.
But I learned some tricks, like P-Kane can shoot out the choir with his feet and then systematically ignore the army and kill their caster with some boosted Path 12s here and there. That'll kill Fiora every time.
Pretty
much guaranteed.
Do you remember you had one roll left and you had to hit?
Uh-huh.
And then
that's
you had to roll.
What happens
in, yeah, he rolled an 11 on two dice twice to kill me.
Is that what he had to have? Or
yes, he killed me to the point.
My attack roll was higher than it needed to be, but
no. He rolled an 11 on two dice for damage twice to kill me.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they were boosted, right?
No, an 11 on two dice.
That's not one in a thousand.
More likely.
What's that? He had to hit. He had to hit like five times, and they were all like sevens to hit.
Kane missed one of his shots. So, I mean. I was a due.
Yeah, that's how dice work, right?
If you give somebody 30% assassination odds.
It wasn't 30%!
Every time you're playing.
It wasn't 30%!
You're
going to
lose 3 out of 10 games.
It was like 1%.
It was 100% to kill you.
Look, John, 10% of the time, it works all the time.
It wasn't 10%, though. That
tournament was bad news bears, because while Stignar is a competitive faction, and I believe was before Stormwall, although Stormwall certainly made the whole situation better, it's not competitive in three-list divide-and-conquer, guaranteed to be locked in.
Oh, my God. Not run up against Krix.
And, yeah, you don't find any Krix players, and it's double character restricted, so no PE.
What? Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And a three-list?
Yeah.
Three-list, super awful. Character restricted, so that the caster choices got bad in a hurry. So I was like, and one of my lists was atrocious.
Oh, man.
Why did you not run?
Whereas you could have just gone to Krix and been like,
didn't play against the
Epic Gaspy, P-Scar, P-the-Negra.
Right.
Yeah.
That would have been way better.
With, which is really handicapping yourself.
Oh, man.
So that tournament, I was like, ooh, run into a shooty list. Well, I'll drop Kane and did fine. And then I was like, yeah, another shooty list. I'll drop Sloan and do fine. And I was like, another shooty list. I'll drop Kane again. And one-handily. And then I was like,
one-handily. You had nothing.
Well, another shooty list.
I had my
list.
Entire army. I was
drop Sloan again.
I'm just going to cap six next time against you every turn.
And didn't win. Misplays, and I was playing against Jake, so battling uphill to begin with. And then I was like, geez, I just played against four or five shooting lists in a row. Surely I'll be able to play P. Haley now. And then I played against Will Pagani's Epic Kruger, and I was like, all right. I guess I lose.
Yeah, that's pretty infuriating.
You should have let me continue on. I would have been fine.
Perhaps.
But that was great. One of my favorite parts about Adepticon was seeing Jeremy Lee do so well.
Yes.
That guy is super sweet from Texas. Very good Protectorate player, too.
Mm-hmm.
Although, for the War Machine Weekend Invitational,
he switched
to Signar.
A lot of people came back after Stormwall.
Yeah.
Stormwall definitely was...
He's a game changer.
It was the year of Stormwall.
There were a lot of them around. That's for sure.
It was really boring.
The back half of the year after he came out.
So that was Adepticon. There wasn't... my most memorable part about Adepticon was making Colin do everything. We had so much fun sending him all over the place because it was his first convention and he thought that's what he was supposed to do.
My memorable Adepticon moment was the team tournament when I played with Walter.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just delightful. Like, we played P. Haley and Mosar, so not the most over-the-top combo of all time, but really annoying. Like, when you can't charge Getarix, who's got Arcane Shield on him, like, good times ensue.
Can't charge, can't run, and Pillars of Salt, like, to block Man of Sight for...
Yep, yep. And yeah. An Arcane Shield to Getarix.
Oh, God. Should have put Roots of Earth on
him. So, and then Walter was just the...
God, Pillars of Salt actually just, like, the kind of fix a lot of Prime Haley's problems.
Some of them, yeah. I mean, we had good games.
Plus four death, for sure.
We lost to Epic Scar and P. Morgul was the one game.
Ooh,
we lost.
That's
they
a
were a little
punch.
Bit too fast. We couldn't quite block ourselves in enough to retaliate. I got one of the casters, but it just didn't really matter at that point.
Mm.
But yeah, and watching Walter, the living troll, just work his magic.
Take a master class in trolling.
He's an exceptional troll. He's actually on a level with Josh down there. He's
yeah.
Like, we should get those two together sometime on a team tournament. That would be...
Josh is more subtle, whereas Walter is just, like, literally punching you in the face with it.
Yeah, and you're like...
That's sometimes, like, a really good combination, right? Like, you just keep getting punched in the face, and then you really don't see the uppercut to your balls.
So, yeah, Adepticon was good. What's next? I don't even...
Lock and Load?
Lock and Load to be next.
Ooh. That was sort of a discovery on our part. We'd never been to a Lock and Load before. I don't know if it was ever as big as it was this past year.
No. Well, it's only been around for 2 years, so...
That's right.
They had the first mm-hmm. year, and then... I have to say, Lock and Load was the most fun I had all year, with the possible exception of War Machine Weekend. Those two were hand-in-hand.
Agreed.
Amazing.
War Machine Weekend was the most fun for me, but Lock and Load was easily second place.
Lock and Load was
Seattle
so much-
is an amazing city that... Tournament, the entire con was just fun. Like, the atmosphere was amazing. The people were great.
Getting to talk to Doug, like, just to get my fluff blunt, my fluff bunny on with Doug Z-Cat was a lot of fun.
I believe I was sleeping all day that day.
Getting trolled by Will Schick is pretty fun, too.
Yeah, God, Will loves trolling you.
Oh, man.
This is the best.
Grumpy, grumpy.
Also, like, that was the start of Sushi with Carl.
Oh, my God. And that then, was amazing.
And then camping out for the Mountain King.
That was
in the hall
amazing.
Of the Mountain King.
In the hall.
Yeah, and then I think we did pretty well there, too. Did the three of us?
Two of us.
Two of you got into Masters. I had a bad round against Manny from Texas.
I don't even remember what happened.
I think. Oh, then, I played you in the qualification for Masters, right?
Yeah.
And then drug you up.
Thankfully. Yeah. Didn't you lose your last round too, or something scary like that?
I did to Jason Watt, barely. Good game. You and I didn't have a good game.
No, I got badly trounced. It was P. Haley does not ever beat Protectorate. I don't think. It's
not. Was it P? Oh, it was P. Haley.
Yeah.
You were playing against P. Krios.
Yeah.
I love that matchup.
It was very bad.
I think I might have said something to the opposite when I sat down, though.
Yeah, that was a little frustrating.
You mean the thing you always say every time?
Yeah. I said, I think this is a bad matchup for me, Keith. And then he almost exploded. And then I beat him. And then he did explode.
It's a true story.
Sprung I would have stabbed him.
it's actually
congrats
kind of,
to you, Keith, actually.
I didn't stab him.
You're a better man than me.
Actually pretty amazing I'm still alive, truth be told.
But yeah, just the hanging out with people was the best part of Lock and Load.
Yeah, Lock and Load was great. We got to hang out a lot with the Chain Attack guys, which was really cool. And then there was just a ton of people that we met that it's not normal circles that we'd run around in. And I mean, we had the same thing at TempleCon, but we hadn't been doing the podcast for very long, so... And I don't think we didn't network near as well at TempleCon as we did at Lock and Load.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I don't know where you guys were for most of it since I was in the game room and you guys were doing other things. But I was just playing games literally the entire time.
Yeah. And I don't think we had shirts for TempleCon.
No.
We did not. We got them for Lock and Load. So, yeah. At Lock and Load, we met, like, those guys from Nintendo were really sweet.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we met Team Age.
We had met Team Age before.
I hadn't.
I met him at Adepticon.
I had not met him in person.
Yeah. And of course we hung out with our normal peeps that we hang out with. But so many faces that we got to meet. It was really cool. I remember.
By contrast, I played almost no War Machine at all at Gen Con this year.
That would be the next con, huh?
Yep.
I played a lot of War Machine this year at Gen Con. I decided I wanted to go in and I really wanted to get into Masters, and then Crump ended up like taking my dream away from me.
What?
You didn't take it away from me, but you definitely did way better at Gen Con than I did.
I went there with the idea that I wouldn't qualify for Masters and I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
So I just did the army swap, then ended up qualifying for Masters.
That was so fun.
Because I cheated so badly.
I had a really good record at Gen Con. I only lost one game in each of the tournaments I played, but it's just that's not enough to.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I went in with the same mentality John did and succeeded in not qualifying where he failed. just doing the army swap, which was one of the best ideas ever to come about. Was that Chuck's plan?
Yeah, another way for Chuck to gain an advantage, for sure.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The whole Chuck, I'm superior at playing armies that I've never seen before because there aren't any armies I've never seen before than anyone else.
That was amazing. How are we going to do that again next year?
I'm in.
If I go to Gen Con.
I'm not planning on revisiting Gen Con.
It is expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive, and I need to find some year where I plan myself my Gen Con out way ahead of time. So that I can like get in and do lots of random fun stuff. Because this year I just didn't plan anything and think like, oh, I'll do fun stuff as it comes along. And then didn't end up doing as much as I wanted to. I don't know. Gen Con, I feel like you kind of want to plan for it, and I didn't have a great plan.
We're not really planners either, let's be honest.
No.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm going to make Gen Con this year. Again, budgetary reasons. So.
Well, the last time you said that, you ended up making it anyway, so...
Yeah, I remember that.
There's the one time that you decided to drive down for the like one night.
Oh yeah,
and drug Chad along.
Yeah, because I remember specifically, I was asking you, you know, are we going to Gen Con this year? No, I can't afford it. All right, well, if you're not going, I'm not going to go either. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, we weren't going to
go. One, blah, blah, blah. And then the night before Gen Con, I kind of want to go anyway. Do you want to just drive down there? It's like Thursday. Yeah, so we'll drive down, or it's like Friday. Yeah, so we'll drive down. We'll drive all night long. We'll crash in Beanish's room. He said we could. We'll hang out all day, and then we'll drive back. All right. Let's do it.
That day was amazing.
You got us lost. I don't know how you managed to get us lost. Yeah. Like 47 times. But then we did play in the Teach You.
That was the day you learned Teach You.
It was the day I learned Teach You.
That was Gen Con 2 years ago.
Yes. We haven't played Teach You in ages.
We should remedy that.
This must
change.
Should
do it with me when I'm really tired.
We should talk about that after the podcast. I have plans. Teach You plans.
All right.
For anyone that knows what I'm talking about, or knows what Teach You is, they know. That game's amazing.
It's an ancient Chinese
my favorite
secret.
Card game.
Chinese poker euchre.
Yes.
All right. Year in review, continuing on. With this very exciting theme.
Yeah, this sucks.
Some of it was fun. It was fun going back to the stuff earlier in the year. The stuff that's more recent isn't as much fun because it's more fresh, I think.
Yeah, let's
so that's pretty much the end of year in review.
Yeah, some other stuff happened. War Machine Weekend was sweet.
Yeah.
Yep, you know about it.
The Tulsa trip was pretty sweet.
Also Mayhem Cups.
Oh, it was miserably hot.
Yeah, God, it was hot in Tulsa. You're right.
And you broke the record for Rumble Strips. Set the record for Rumble Strips. Which I don't believe will ever be.
I'm
broken.
Still not sure I believe it.
Wasn't it like 93?
It was in the 90s. Crump heard me count every single one.
Yeah,
you were like counting some of them. Like, you have this habit of counting some of them twice. Because you'll be like oh, that was 13, like... and now we're at 16. And I'm like, I haven't hit any more. You're like, no, you hit three more. I'm like, no, I didn't hit any more. And like, you count.
Because he literally does not notice.
He may have been counting like fart noises.
Nah, there's no way I hit 93.
You go to Taco Bell and the Rumble Strip count goes up by like 50.
I'm telling you, like.
They were all legit.
I did a podcast on the road.
There was a.
Well, Keith is trustworthy. He'll tell you as much.
Not as often as John.
Not as often as. Or as loud.
But there was one mitigating factor that I think is important to mention, is that for some reason on the road to Tulsa, Oklahoma, instead of the normal arrangement of white line, 1 foot rumble strip, it was rumble strip on the white line. So they were much easier to hit. Yeah. Approximately 20 times easier to hit, which is approximately the number, the multiplier of rumble strips that he hit. Whereas there's no, a normal trip is like 5 or 6 rumble strips. This one went to 90, which is like approximately a factor.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people introduced themselves to me this year and said, "Hey, I drove 13 hours to get here and hit 0 rumble strips." I thought you should know.
How many people?
Zero?
Several.
This is the standard method for introducing yourself to John.
It's a good motivational factor for you so that you know it's possible.
The last trip we took, I hit barely any. When we go to Detroit, we'll count them. We'll do an official count.
It's barely any.
I was disappointed on that trip. Like, I'd heard this legend of, like, this song that I would hear, like, the entire trip up.
And I hit, like,
it
one.
It was like 4 or 5.
No, I hit one. It was one.
So it was definitely 4 or 5. So it's clear that John definitely downplayed from this conversation right now.
I don't think that's true.
I think the next time we go on a trip, you should just drive like constantly on one so it only counts as one.
No, because Keith starts counting them by seconds. He's like, that's one, that's two, that's three. Because I tried that.
Also, that would destroy your tires, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, remember when his tires like literally fell off the van or whatever on the way back?
They literally fell off the van.
Yeah. Well, that was part of your problem, too, is on the Tulsa trip, you got mad at me when I hit like 60, and then you hit like 14 more out of spite.
I did.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. He's just like, at a certain point, like he's just like, 62. And John's like, I can't take it anymore.
He's just 63, like, 64, 65.
Yeah, I was like, John gets done with it, and then Keith's like, 78.
Oh, yeah,
that
wish
might have happened.
I wish I could have made that trip.
I was so frustrated because he kept counting things that shouldn't have counted.
Like when he hits rumble strips, just a little bit.
Like, for some reason, on the way to Tulsa, they had rumble strip. Like, they just did the rumble strip thing, like, all the way across the exits and entrances.
And from hour 115 to 130, we will have rumble strip chat.
Yeah, no, like, I'm serious. On this road, you would exit off the interstate, and you could not avoid rumble strip when you exited and entered, because it went all the way across the front.
I suspect that's not true. Well, I have never seen a highway anywhere in the United States of America in which the engineers have decreed you shall not pass without going over rumble strips.
So, I'm not making this up.
Lance, if you're listening to this for the markers, the show markers, definitely mark this down as the rumble strip chat.
All right. So let's move on from your interview, Dead Horse, and we've segued using rumble strips to move us to our next portion, which is going to be goals for next year, things that we're going to do. Exciting things. First, I want to talk about, if we remember, we all set ourselves some things that we were going to do this year, last year. Let's talk about how horrifically unsuccessful we were at those things.
Oh.
I'll go first, just to prove that we can be truthful about it.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Last year when... Oh, you might have not been on that cast. But we did New Year's resolutions.
Oh,
yeah, we did. What was mine? I vaguely remember this.
Mine was... I don't remember. I had some of them that I did do, like playing with Signar and doing okay with it. And then I had one that I didn't do, which is that I was going to take some Trollblood theme forces to a tournament.
Oh, I remember that now.
My apologies. I didn't get around to it. I didn't take my trolls out of their suitcase all year.
Yeah, I was going to play, I think, 2 games a week was the goal I set.
You might have broken .2.
Yeah. I played 2 games against you in a week.
Right?
Yeah, that happened.
I know, like...
So I think partial credit.
Some weeks you played 2 games.
Well, weeks where I went
to tournaments. Some months you didn't play any.
Yeah. I'd probably be better if I played some. Maybe I should do that.
Do you remember yours?
Was mine to play with the clock all the time?
Maybe.
I think so. I don't think I did that.
Chad and Crump have forgotten their New Year's resolutions, making it unlikely that they were completed.
They probably were.
So what resolutions are we going to make this year that we're going to break?
Well, we already did, much like No Crutch, we've done Play It Painted. We have,
you know what? I didn't break No Crutch.
Neither did I.
Actually,
Yes, you did.
I did actually break No Crutch.
You did, and Karma kicked you in the nads.
And kicked Jake in the nads, too.
I didn't break No Crutch.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. You broke No Crutch, like,
he's
in January.
Go, I didn't sign up for it.
Go back and listen to the podcast.
Shut up, Trump.
Go back and listen to the podcast. Keith and I clearly signed you up for No Crutch.
Did I sign up for Play It Painted?
Yeah, you did. You're totally in. 100%.
Fudge.
Right, Keith?
Max, you
right.
Painted stuff?
Rufus?
I don't.
Boom.
So, at the beginning, I gave the disclaimer, or the I'm Crump and I'm playing Circle. From now on, for 2013, it's I'm Crump and I'm playing whoever wants to loan me something at a tournament.
That's painted.
Yes.
Also known as Crump.
Right. Indeed.
Well, previously, I haven't required the models to be painted, Chad.
What? Yeah, he wasn't.
Tremendous distinction.
Yeah, he's leveled up. He doesn't have to ask for unpainted stuff. Now he can ask for painted stuff. Pretty soon he's going to ask for pro-painted stuff.
Or, like, modded.
It has to be converted.
Converted and pro-painted so that I can win the best army.
Let me play your army and give me $50.
So,
Paintbagger, can I borrow your trolls while you play Signar all year?
And have $50?
Does Paintbagger have trolls?
I think so. No, he has Kricks.
He has Kricks.
Scorn.
Scorn. There we go. Yeah.
Signar.
In Signar.
His Scorn is beautiful. I think he sold his Scorn, actually.
Paintbagger, can I borrow...
His everything is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
His
so
eyes are beautiful.
We need real New Year's resolutions to break this year.
I'm totally going to play one game a week.
Okay. And then, like, next year, I'm going to play...
One game every other week.
Yeah.
I'm going to play War Machine.
I'm going to play an average of one game a week, and I'm not going to count tournament games towards that average. Because if I count a tournament games, I almost make that just from the conventions that I normally go to.
Yeah.
You get pretty close.
Yeah.
Like 10 games a convention.
Well, most conventions I get like
average
five.
One game a week or one game...
One
a
game
week.
A week.
I'm going to average because I can't go every week because I do IKRPG every other week right now.
Boo.
So I'm only going to game night like every other week, but I'm going to try to get 2 to 3 games in those nights.
This is why we have to get these... hammer
out the details, you see.
I'm going to work on tilting less hard.
Awesome. No, that's great.
That's actually what I spent a lot of this year doing. Some of it unsuccessful, some of it more successful.
You've definitely gotten better. It's amazing, like how when you started to win more, you started to tilt less.
That's probably why I've been tilting more lately. I've been losing a lot more than I am used to.
Well, that's good practice for not tilting.
Yeah, Trollbloods,
it is.
Trollbloods,
oh, also, I think I'm legitimately going to play some Trollblood theme forces this year. It's the year of theme forces for me.
Nice.
It's because I used my War Machine weekend stuff to get the Doomshaper and the Orcith theme forces, but
also you're going to make the War Wagon work. Or try to find some lists for it.
Well, I do have 2 War Wagons now, so I'm going to try and... Yeah, that's true. I have the one that... It's not any good, but I freaking love playing it. So
One of those War Wagons is going to be the one with the buffalo in the wagon, right?
Definitely. Oh, definitely.
Man, that's so sweet. That pose is amazing.
We need to officially work on, like, getting that to...
You need to
actually be modded the way we want it to. With the troll on the ground pointing.
Get out of there.
I'm going to make it my goal to, that's more of a goal than to actually win a Masters this year, I think. That'd be pretty sweet.
That's something that I would love to do, but it's not a good resolution. You can't.
Yeah, it's not really a resolution. It's
because it's partly also because it's just something that I've always wanted to do anyway. That won't actually change my behavior, you know.
Paint like 50 points of models.
Nope.
Paint 5 points of models.
How about paint?
Well, I've been painting Risen, so currently I'm up to 0 points of models. If you just paint Alexia, then you got 5.
Ba-doom.
Alexia and 9 Risen would be 5.
Right. That's correct.
Josh, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
War Machine related?
Magic related?
Travel? No magic related New Year's resolutions. Don't play. You can only win by not playing.
Drafting is fun.
Drafting is fun.
We should draft. We got to draft with the Texas guys. We'll bring Josh down, and we'll roll those guys hard.
We will roll them very hard.
Yep.
But
No. Josh has never played Magic.
Oh, right.
That's true.
What is this magical game of? Is it cards?
He's not a ringer at all.
No. It's a card game. And
I like card games.
Yeah, it's like, think about it as Wizards dueling, and there's like 5 different colors of magic.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
White is all about like justice, law, and life.
Yeah.
Blue is about
drawing lots of cards.
Drawing lots of cards is like intuition.
That sounds boring.
Sort of
I would never play blue.
Black is about death, robbing liquor stores.
Oh, that's bad.
Red is about mountains and being
mountain
angry.
Goats.
I don't know.
Probably just play
Red is about fire.
Mono White sounds fantastic. I'd probably just play that.
You did play a lot of Mono White. Wait. Oh, my bad. I mean, Lance, cut this out.
But yes, War Machine related. Go to some cons, and I'm going to beat all four of you at least one game this year.
You have to get me into a game in order to beat me.
I've played you two games already.
I know. That's probably my quota for you for the year.
And
to be fair to everyone else, if I play you any more games, like, no one else will get one.
You're apparently playing one game a week.
Well, clearly I'm not going to make that resolution. That'd be like,
oh, okay.
That'd
so
be
you're,
like,
you're scooping already.
No, not scooping yet. I'm actually going to try. But I realistic. That'd be like if I said I'm going to lose 100 pounds this year.
That's doable.
Well, you're currently one game behind. Resolution. Oh, I suppose we haven't had a
no,
week.
No,
it hasn't been a week yet. Yeah. So Wednesday, I'm going to get a game.
All right.
That's tomorrow.
Right. That is tomorrow.
Holy crap. Who wants to play tomorrow?
We have a game.
I believe we all want to play tomorrow.
All right, you owe me a game.
Because right. Here's the last 3 weeks for me. Christmas, Blizzard, and more Blizzard.
Mayhem was closed the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
And yeah, then the week before that was a Blizzard. And the week before that was something weird. Anyway, yeah.
Trump.
Resolve
something.
My goal for the year is to make it to a Pro Tour.
That's big balling right there.
I decided to go back to the Life of Magic.
You cannot.
All right. Okay, my goal for the year...
You're kidding, right? You're not going back to Magic.
...is to give someone a seizure while I'm playing War Machine.
What? You can, like, carry a strobe light or something?
No, I did that in Magic one time, and now I want to see if I can do it in War Machine.
Was it something that you actually... Was it because of you, or was it just a causal...
Yeah, yeah, no.
Was it just a coincidence?
There's just a guy...
He gives me a seizure at every freaking tournament I run.
There's a guy who...
I can't wait to play in your tournament, Crump.
You're judging him.
No, I'm going to play. I forgot.
So anyway...
So delicious. Oh, man. You're going to so understand what it's like to deal with you.
He's telling a story.
I did tell Keith this story the other day, but all right, so everyone think, just take a moment, reflect. Like, you've probably had a best moment in gaming history, best moment in War Machine. Keith was probably when he won War Machine Weekend. These kind of things. Well, when I played Magic, I went to Pro Tours all the time and played, like, really great competitive games. However, my favorite moment in Magic history was just at a local game. It was a draft. And I was playing against this guy. And he was at 2 life, and I draw the top card of my deck, and it's a shock. And for those of you who don't know, it's 1 red, deal 2 damage to target creature or player. So I shocked my opponent. He then began to twitch and jerk around suddenly, then fall backwards out of his chair, and start having a full-blown seizure.
This is something you're proud of?
This is one of his greatest moments.
It's pretty great.
That's kind of disturbing.
What?
It's disturbing that you're proud of that.
I helped him. It wasn't like I just, like, left him there.
What? But you're
not proud of that.
You just said that it was, like, your greatest moment, and, like, you want to try and make somebody in War Machine do that.
There's a significant amount of irony in that an epileptic seizure happened at the same immediately after you cast the shock spell.
It's like I'm a real-life wizard.
Oh, it makes sense now.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get it.
Okay.
All right.
No,
but, still sounds douchey, but carry on.
I mean, seizures are scary, is the thing.
Yeah. That's the thing I'm most scared of is being a high school teacher. Is like that's the time when a kid has a seizure in my class.
It's one of your 3 greatest fears.
Yes. Seizure in the classroom.
Having a kid who has a seizure?
Crocodiles, alligators, and seizures.
Mine's spiders, man. I don't like spiders. Spiders are bad.
Why are we in the basement? All right, because it's the professional room. Sorry, I forgot.
Professional spider room.
So, anyway.
Anybody got one for me? Besides paint my stuff?
Yeah, you don't like
play with your own stuff?
Ooh.
How about play one faction for the year? Or even just most of the year? Like, focus on something and get good at something.
How about... Something that you said you were going to do.
I did that last year.
Yeah, you did. No.
I played Circle, like, all last year.
You keep telling me you're going to play X-Caster, and you're going to get really good with him, and then you never do.
Remember when he was going to play Kotor?
Good with Cassius.
How about that time when he was going to play Mercs? How about that time he was... Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good with Cassius. All
right, my resolution for the year is to not say things like, I'm going to start Cable.
His resolution for the year is to not say things. This is going to be the best year ever.
Podcast is going to be better anyway.
Not for the Crump fans.
That's true. Everybody loves Crump.
They will mew for Crump.
Did you do a Crumpy Christmas?
No, I didn't.
There was great demand for that.
I was trying to convince my girlfriend to do it with me.
Wait, you're talking about doing a podcast, right?
No. I wasn't going to do a podcast. I was going to make like a video.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Too much information.
It was going to be
what we asked for.
You were going to try to get your girlfriend to do it with you on video. Is that what you just said?
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Grumpy Christmas.
A very grumpy.
Yeah. That's a dollar.
All right, we're done. We're end cast.
Good night, everybody.
$1.99 down at your local.
No, it was going to be like late at night when you watch TV and there's like those really, really crappy.
Yeah. That's about right.
Skinamax, am I right? Brofist.
Oh, bro.
Boom.
I hope people love listening to us laugh.
Okay, so the crappy ones you see late at night. On TV.
Yeah.
So, like...
Like a Girls Gone Wild commercial?
No. All your favorite blah, blah, blah hits.
Oh, okay.
Like all your favorite
like
Christmas...
Time Life commercial?
Like Kids...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like Kids Bop.
Yeah, like Kids Bop. All your favorite songs, now sung by Crump. So it's going to be just like...
Crump's Bop?
Me in this terrible, like, ugly, ugly sweater in front of, like, a fireplace and, like, Christmas tree in the background. And it'll be like, oh, your classic favorites. And it was just going to be a rewrite of, like, 10 favorite Christmas songs, but with War Machine twists to them.
We Crump you a Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah. We wish you a crumpy Christmas.
Yeah.
And a Happy New Year.
Yeah, needless to say, couldn't get my girlfriend to do it.
Yeah, that
more information.
Surprise!
Than I
mean.
Yeah. That's just a story for everyone.
Anyway, moving on.
Is
that resolutions for everyone?
I didn't do one.
Yeah, it was to say less things.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's you have a real happening. Resolution. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll come up with that next podcast.
Keith, how about you resolve not to play Bart plus Galleon?
No, I will not.
That can be mine.
How about you resolve to not play Elitch?
No, I just got him back.
I know, and I really enjoyed that year. That year was so much. Was that year not much better, Chad? Not having it with Keith and Elitch.
Could just be like, don't play pirates.
No, my resolution.
You
will
just
not
heard pirate. The story about like the worst game of all time that I've ever played.
He doesn't get it.
And it was Keith and Signar, not in Crix.
Man,
I think he's forgotten the
pain. Last time
it's
I played against Keith with Elitch, I won.
It's a true story. All
right, I got this. I got my resolution.
Rolled a 13 like a boss.
What?
Proceed.
My resolution is people on the forums vote for what my resolution should be.
Oh, wow. This could be...
Really interesting?
We could milk this.
Yeah.
You're just like a walking focus group.
I don't know what the heck it should be.
I'm blanking, actually.
Right?
All
right,
so
just do what I'm doing. Have people vote
how
for
about
your resolution.
How about you won't tilt when I beat you?
I could quit the powdered crack.
What?
Powdered
crack?
Isn't it powdered? No, that's the cocaine.
Cocaine
about
powder.
Doing drugs?
I should quit, is what I'm saying.
What? Should we actually have like an intervention about this?
Wait, when did you start doing drugs?
Always?
I'm really uncomfortable right now.
This is so weird. I don't get this joke if it is.
Yeah, it was a joke, and it's not going anywhere.
Oh, like mine.
No, yours went somewhere.
Is it like Billy burning down the bank? No, what was that?
Chad killing people.
That's right, because he couldn't get
because
the
of the ATM machine, which was a glorious story. It just didn't get played.
ATM
well.
Machine. I hate you.
We didn't.
That's
think
a
about
totality.
It
the automatic teller machine.
Yeah, the automated ATM machine.
The automatic teller machine.
Sweet.
All right, so
that's it.
I don't know. Oh, I was having the circle. I'm gonna have the circle forms about which like forecasters I should play this year. Except with the stipulation of no Grail.
No, I was going to say get ready to play a lot of Grail.
The stipulation is like, give me the four worst casters, parentheses, no Grail.
Because F that guy.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
turns out the Circle Forums think that Epic Kaya is one of their worst casters.
Yeah, that was
so enjoy your year is what I'm saying.
It's not everyone.
I don't get that at all.
I'm not sure if she's better in 2013, though. 2013, she might struggle a little bit.
I guess it depends on how much death clock there is.
Yeah, well, Scenario's a little more active.
I guess.
They're more winnable, yeah. I think. Anyway.
2013, Play It Painted 2013 is going to accomplish or soak up a lot of my goal-orientedness for this year.
Yeah, I need to paint. I can't play Latro with you anymore or Lord of the Rings, the card game anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because every time I should be painting, I'm building decks instead.
Oh, man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a like, full-blown PG and just run a tournament every 2 months.
That's a good one.
That's a good resolution.
That's a good resolution.
That's a great resolution.
I probably should do that, too. Matter of fact, I'm going to run one in February.
Not every 2 months, every other. But
that's a good idea.
Yeah, we should do that. We should just alternate. Man.
Yeah, so there's one tournament every month.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. That's a fantastic idea.
Because I'm capable of helping.
Can you help me with the Mayhem Cup?
I can also help.
Absolutely.
I would judge and do stuff.
I just want to crush people. Maybe you guys should run tournaments, and I'll get the PG points for it. And then...
I mean, you set up all the logistics and stuff, and then we'll show up with the...
Okay, so resolutions, are we good?
Yeah, sure.
What else are we
doing? We'll report back. He's on mail? We've got a mail.
We have a mail.
It never fails.
Makes me want to wag my tail.
When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail!
Hooray!
So you remember I was telling that aside about that Time's Up title game or whatever?
No.
Yes.
The party game?
Just say yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. One of them was Blue's Clues. And
I love Blue's Clues.
You can make noises. And so one of the persons was trying to get him to say Blue's Clues, and she was like, yeah, exactly. But apparently her partner, it was Hat, had never seen Blue's Clues. And he's like, what in the hell is wrong with you? And so, yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Okay. That was just like completely random, and then I was like, oh, wait, the Blue's Clues song for the mail. Got it. Like, I thought he was reading someone's like Muse-on mail and that. Yeah. And
no, Blues, I'm going to be involved. As soon as I can find it. Here it is. This is from Anthony.
Oh. Hopkins?
No.
Who is that?
It says, hi, guys. Hacking. Love the podcast, which we love it when people love the podcast because that's why we do it. And apparently to ask for donations, but that's another story. Question for you. I have a lot of a noob in preparing to expand into some bigger metas. For example, the Detroit meta. And this is kind of scary. Not just gaming related.
Detroit is scary.
Yeah, bring a bulletproof vest is my take.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm used to getting my butt kicked.
Stay out of the backseat of cabs.
Right. But gaming etiquette, attitude, process, and general behavior. Should I be slow and clear to my opponents during my turns? Is there certain taboos I may not be aware of? When is it appropriate to ask to pause timers for questions or ask for a judge answer and not be a douche? Any other tips in general? I appreciate your help. I've listened to you guys a lot, and it's been a great enjoyment for me and saved me from falling asleep at the wheel. I'm excited to meet you all at the Tears for Fears event later this month and hoping you answer my question before that. Last questions. Do you prefer purple maple syrup or Canadian beer? Or pure maple syrup, not purple.
I was like, what's purple maple syrup?
I was like, wait, maple syrup. I love maple syrup. The color purple. I love the color purple.
Yeah. I'm going to say number one.
Or just the color in general?
Pure maple syrup over beer.
I love pure maple syrup. Actually, it's one of the things I get in my Christmas stocking
every year. You guys are stupid.
Why?
You're picking syrup over beer?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, is it all beers?
Have you ever had
Canadian beer?
Well, okay. So
maple syrup.
Are we counting Molson Ice? Like, is that like the?
Look, the question is, do you prefer maple syrup or Canadian beer? There's no mention of Molson Ice.
I've never had a Canadian beer.
Yeah, you have.
Maple syrup on pancakes.
Or what? It's all right.
Yeah.
Maple syrup on bacon and sausage.
Like,
yes.
Truly amazing. Molson wow.
Or,
yes. No. When I
Labatt's or
when I am partaking in the meal that is breakfast. If there's nothing on my plate that does not get covered in maple syrup.
That is the correct way of using maple syrup.
Not the Canadian beer.
Eggs, I'm like, I'm not so sure about
my girlfriend
maple syrup. But
I don't go out of my way to slather them, but if they get hit, I'm like, I'm not upset about it.
Yeah.
I flip the table.
Any collateral damage done to the eggs by the maple syrup bomb.
Usually it's just like the wash over from the sausage.
That's what I,
for what
I don't try and.
Founders, the brewery in Michigan does a beer every year that is aged in Canadian maple syrup barrels.
Oh my god!
And it is incredible.
So just
I'm intrigued.
Both worlds. What's it is?
So the correct answer is Canadian maple syrup beer.
Right. Now, on to his actual question, and I'm glad he brought this up.
What was his question?
Basically, what is tournament etiquette? He feels like he's going to be coming to the Detroit meta, and obviously there's some very well known players that.
If it's the Detroit meta that we know, if it's like if
you guys told me that was super soft, the Detroit meta. That's what you told me.
Yeah, no, that's not what we told you.
If it's Jake and Bull and Chuck and
Garen and Hollywood.
Garen and Hollywood. Yeah, those guys will definitely treat them right and
so
teach you good etiquette and stuff. But
tournament etiquette.
Yeah, here's what I would say. You'll probably have more trouble at the lower tables than you do at the higher tables. With tournament etiquette, most of the well-established players who are really good, and it's not all of them, but most of them will recognize that you're a newer player and go out of their way to help you get through it, and will point out when you do things procedurally wrong. Like I do that all the time. For example, if somebody bends a tape measure, I'll be like, "Well, if you go to a lot of tournaments, some TOs, particularly Hacksaw, who runs a lot of big tournaments, or Andrew." Will tell you not to use a bendy tape measure, measure in straight lines in movements, and then make multiple measurements, which is accurate.
Right.
So, just stuff like that. But I would never worry about going to a tournament. People will help you. It's perfectly acceptable to pause a timer to ask a judge. Now, the only thing I would say, it would be in good form if you ended up taking a lot of time with a lot of questions because it's your first tournament. And you go to time, I would forfeit if you didn't allow the game to actually be played with all of your questions.
Yeah, that might be fair.
I think that's what I would do. You know, if I was asking a lot of questions and it just ended up slowing down the game to the point where my opponent was very gracious and answered my questions or allowed judges to come answer questions, but it stopped the game from being played to a point where it could be resolved, I probably would just forfeit because the points, if you're new, it's not really to win. It's to get the experience
sure,
and to
sure.
learn. But that's my own personal, it's not something that's required by any means, but that's how I kind of look at it.
From like a day-to-day play experience, there's a point in there about whether you should be slow and clear if possible. I don't think that speed and clarity are necessarily linked. You can be quick and clear.
Yep.
You can be
clear and concise.
From somebody like, you know, getting into the game at like a newer level, I will definitely say like I'm catching up to some extent, but there is definitely a level at which slow and clear is different. Because while you know like all the numbers that you need to hit and what all the modifiers are when we play games,
that's fair.
There are a lot of times that I don't, and I'm just to have you tell me like I hit, I miss. Like I'm not learning those modifiers when that happens. So that is something that like. Like I haven't like brought it up much in our games. Like I'm just trying to catch it up myself. But
that is
something that like slow and clarity does help with.
Yeah, I would actually err on just be slow and clear with your intent and announce your intent and play the best of your ability to your understanding of the rules, and you won't have any problems playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
In any tournament, particularly up there with the Detroit guys. Those guys are great. Like they will definitely take you under their wing and. The best part about playing those guys is if they recognize you as a pretty established player, they will help you. Like Jake is constantly like, oh, you know, you could do this, you could do this, you should have done this, you know.
And it's only more so in casual games. So
yep.
I wouldn't be worried about breaking into a meta, especially if you're not really tied up in the idea that you should be winning games. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there And you said this in your email too, Anthony, that you know you're not worried about winning and losing. You're worried about you know breaching etiquette or anything, and I wouldn't worry about that at all. Because if you do anything wrong, they'll just let you know in a nice way. I mean, they'll just, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, the only things in the game that are a breach of etiquette is usually when you've breached the rules at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like movements, and then a couple things that I see newer players do that are habits that I will try to
try to prevent and like just sort of say like in order to play the 100% clean game, do it this way, and you'll have fewer problems in the future is over measuring. That'll happen sometimes. Like you'll see someone measure their entire 12-inch run and then only like run 6 inches.
Yep.
Technically, if you measure to a place, you moved there, so don't do that. Measure discreetly. Measure only as far as you want to move the model. You can always go further if you have more movement. But you don't have to measure your full movement, and actually, if you do measure your full movement, that's a declarative that you are moving that far. Same thing actually goes for weapon ranges. If you have got a 14-inch gun range, you declare your target and then measure up to 14 inches to your target. You don't measure all the way to your target if it's more than 14 inches, and you don't measure 14 inches if 14 inches is more than your target.
Yep.
You measure 14 inches, or you measure the range of your weapon up to your target. So those are two things that I see. Another thing would be in the previous situation, like measure for a 12-inch run, move the whole thing, and then move it back. That's not legal because you've now moved more than your 12 inches. It's not a rewind. You're actually moving it backwards, which is more movement than you have. So make just sure little things like that.
Make sure that you have consensus before you actually change the game state, like before you pick up your models, before you... You know, show your tape measure. Make sure that they agree that they have, you know, you have range to do whatever you want to do, and then do it.
Actually,
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Let me interrupt.
As opposed to a lot of people will just throw their tape measure down, and go, "Oh, I'm in range," and pick up their guy and put it, you know, and then the opponent will sort of go, "Wait a minute, how'd you get that far? You were back here."
Yeah. Here's some really good etiquette. If it's close, if you know something's close on the charge range, say you have a 10-inch threat with your charge, you have, you know, an 8-inch charge and 2-inch reach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
say, I think this is really close. I'm going to measure my threat range. Put the tape down and measure and get your opponent to agree or disagree that it's within 10 inches because you can just actually measure that out. And then move your 8 forward and just put you right at reach range.
Yep.
And that way you have agreement, and that's actually good etiquette. You see that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But most of the time, the game doesn't even need to go that far. You know,
that's only when it's close.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just in casual games, it's not like it even matters that much.
Well, I think he's talking about going to like this Tears for Fears tournament. This will be a little bit more of a casual tournament. But even at the highest levels of competition in War Machine, people play a tight game, but they don't. There's not a
rules lawyer sort of atmosphere to it.
That's not too bad, no.
No. But, I mean, most of the things that I spot from new players, it's tape measure discipline. Like
yeah.
Bendy tapes, over-measuring, or being...
Floating tape measures.
Yeah, I watch that, too. If you can anchor your tape measure, especially when you're moving a model, it's very easy to, when you're moving the model forward, your hand with the tape measure in it will naturally drift as well. This will result in long charges or long runs. So if you can, in a way, put your tape measure on the ground or make sure that your hand holding the tape measure is like elbow on the table so that you're not just like floating with both hands, because then a body motion will naturally move your tape measure and cause inaccuracies.
Yep.
But most of the game's etiquette revolves around the tape measure, I would say.
I would agree.
Any of the particulars, especially the faux pas that I see.
And actually, Anthony, if you do see us at that Tears for Fears tournament, come grab one of us and we'll show you what we're talking about with the tape. And then we'll also show you some lick-goat-based tricks to make sure you're not doing bendy charge lanes and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And if you play with those, like you're saying, good tape measure discipline, you'll have most of the etiquette down. And then the other thing is to make sure you mark everything and be very declarative with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure you announce that you're upkeeping spells and pay the focus and
yep. the order of your beginning, the order of the beginning of the turn is something that even like I'll screw that up. That's something that if you drill that into yourself early on, we'll save you some hassle.
And then the other thing I would say, just as a it's a general life rule I live by, but I always try to treat people how I want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that applies to War Machine too. So, for example, this is something that comes up often, and I have people argue with me against this, but if I have an opponent who's playing the Horde system, and they forgot to reeve their Fury, and they started moving some models, and they'll be like, "Oh, I forgot to reeve. You mind if I reeve?" I'm like, no, take your Fury. I mean, that's what you would have done. I mean, I want you to play a clean game, but that's not how I want to win. You
right.
Know?
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
So, but some of that is regional.
It is. Some people want a very, very tight game, and that's fine.
So, yep. Next.
Next.
We've got a little bit of dojo, Chad.
Little bit of dojo?
Little bit.
I don't have any dojo for tonight. I have not had my Might and More machine.
It's very, very tiny amount of dojo, just because I've got the second battle wagon coming. And I realized that Grimangus has a spell that synergizes with it really well, so I wanted to just see if it I could make it work with two of them and
is the
play
spell
a different style of list.
Cross country?
Yeah, yeah. They're really good with Hunter.
Well, I'm thinking my way through Grimm's spell list, and I'm not thinking of anything.
That's
like...
because he has a spell that no one ever casts called Return Fire, which costs one, and you can put it on a model, and then the way it's worded is it's basically after that model is targeted by an attack, after the attack is resolved, the model with Return Fire can make either a melee or a ranged attack, and then it expires. But you do it out of activation. You do it after it's attacked. I think you get to choose when you do it, so they can't...
It doesn't happen on the first time, or necessarily?
I'm not sure, so that's probably something I should check.
Grump, double check that.
What are we checking?
Pull up Grimangus. Fire.
Checking.
But,
oh, crap.
It's just really good on battle engines, it seems like, because everything that they do either knocks down or... It's basically...
It's a pie plate.
If the battle engine gets shot at by a warjack, warjacks are low enough defense usually that the battle engine could theoretically return fire the cannon and knock it down, mm-hmm. and knock down whatever is in the AoE too, which could be really devastating.
Yeah.
If it gets charged by a non-reach warjack, then it could knock them down with its melee attacks after the first hit.
What was the question on return fire?
Is it trigger off the very first hit, or does it say you may? Just read it.
When target-friendly faction model is targeted by an enemy, ranged attack. Only ranged attack.
Only ranged attack. Crap. Never mind.
Theory machine for nothing.
Dojo failure.
After the attack is resolved, the affected model can make one normal melee or ranged attack.
That's right. Because that's why it's such a weird spell, I guess. That's what I thought.
It's the first one as well.
Well, because you can make a melee attack if you're targeted by a ranged attack.
Huh.
So it's a really weird spell.
So if someone shoots into you when you're engaging.
Yeah, so maybe this dojo's terrible.
Run up and gunfighter.
All right, we need to cut this section out.
All right. this is a good example. We can turn this into a lesson. This is a good example of how dojo begins and how sometimes good ideas don't get anywhere. This happens. This is a natural part of the dojo process. Not every idea you have is going to be solid gold. You have to think your way through it. Then do some research.
So it's still a good spell on the battle engine. It's just not.
Yeah, it's not. It's just
because my original thought was that if they charge it in with, if they charge a bunch of infantry into it, they only get to really charge it once because then you get to drop a pie plate on the
either kill it or knock it down.
Yeah, on the rest of the infantry, and same thing with warjacks. But if it only triggers off of ranged attacks, that's...
If it's assaulting infantry, you got them.
Nice.
Ka-chow, ka-chow.
But the basic list was. It was just going to be two Armor 23 battle wagons and then a Grimangus battle group behind it, basically.
Hmm.
So.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Return fire only triggers off ranged attacks.
It doesn't prevent jamming his battle wagons.
Sad panda.
They're still pretty hard to jam, though, because they're fast and they have giant impact attack area. But the
troll battle wagon is good. It is by far the best horde's battle wagon.
Wait.
Really? The Legion one is so much better.
Wait, really?
Also, the Circle one's better. The
Circle one is pretty good.
Yeah, I do love me playing two of those things.
It is the second worst Horde's battle engine.
But 5-inch pie plate's pretty...
You think the Legion one's better?
Pretty excellent.
Yeah.
I prefer guns to melee, in general.
It has pretty good magic gun.
Yeah, it has that spiny
spine burst
eruption,
or whatever.
Or eruption of spines, whatever it's called. Spine burst.
Spine burst. It's like D3 corruption.
Yeah, and
spines.
A spray.
And a chili spray.
And a spray and four-inch.
Isn't it a battle wizard?
3-4-inch reach attacks.
Legit.
It's a battle wizard.
Battle wizard!
And it flies.
It's so awesome.
It's a flying battle engine.
And it's not fearless.
Yeah.
Ergo, the troll one is better.
It causes terror.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I'd probably say it's better than...
I haven't seen very many of the Horde's battle engines. It's hard for me to make that determination.
The only one I've seen a lot of is the Circle one, actually.
Yeah. Right.
I played two a turn.
Well, I actually... I see the Trollblood one a lot. I've just never, ever played a game against it.
Right.
But I often go to tournaments. I often see people using it.
Yeah, it's all over. Because it is by far the best.
Okay.
Or it's battle engine.
But it doesn't change the faction. It's not by far the best battle engine, period. That would be the Menoth battle engine.
Yeah,
I would
is.
Say the Trollblood battle engine is probably 2/10 of a Menoth battle engine.
Oh, come on. That's not remotely
yeah.
better than the
maybe 3/10. Yeah, what would that's... you say, Keith?
Hmm.
Is that too high?
No.
That's not.
It might be as much
honest.
As half.
That's not
it might be as much
honest.
As half. Wow.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Not,
well,
that's not honest either. That's all right.
Yeah. The Menoth battle engine is ridiculously amazing.
It's
by
okay.
far the best battle engine.
It's all
right. Speaking of battle engines, that most of our list I've been working on has been re-dojoed. I cut the Skinwalkers.
Yeah, I know you've been testing them quite a bit.
Yeah, well, because I was like, yes, these models are gorgeous, and I wanted to play them forever, and now there's a UA that makes them sort of worth it. And thus far have been disappointed. But... isn't that most of our list? And so I cut that 11 points, put Megalith in, and I cut the 9 points that used to be a Pure Blood, and that has now turned into Druids with the UA.
Well, you're putting 11 points into mostly a tar pit when you do the Skinwalkers. I mean, are they failing at that task even, or are they not getting their points back?
They're with both.
Both?
Yeah. Mm. You know what's just a better tar pit than a full unit of Skinwalkers? Just 2 Winter Arguses.
Yeah. Back to this again.
It's just true. Skinwalkers just die. Unless you're playing, like, more...
Winter Arguses don't take up very much space on the table, though.
Yeah, they don't have the footprint that, and the threat.
Yeah, well, they kind of have more of a footprint because they don't die. When stuff dies, it doesn't really hold ground.
Fair enough.
But, yeah.
They're very hard to kill.
I wanted to put a Geomancy in that Mozart list because... battle engines get better when you can Curse of Shadows and still cast, like, 4 pillars a turn.
Wow, this... just looking down, we're at, like, an hour and 50 minutes almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to believe we've talked for almost 2 hours about nothing.
We're gifted in that respect.
Yeah. This is like the Seinfeld episode.
Seinfeld episode?
Yeah, there was a show about nothing.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yep. So you're in Newman, right?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm Seinfeld.
You're Seinfeld.
I'm the leader.
Okay. I guess that makes Keith Kramer?
Keith is kind of racist.
I mean, he's kind of got the big hair going on, too.
So then I'm George and Crump is Elaine?
I'm okay with this.
Crump does dance like Elaine.
I think that's acceptable.
Yeah, because, you know.
All right. Anyway, that was...
okay, we've
scraping the bottom of the barrel.
We've tangented onto all sorts of really odd topics this evening, I must say.
Well, we said we're going to try to be like Crippled System.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. How do they manage?
How do they do that so well?
They have Carnage and Nate Hoffman. I mean.
Yeah, they are hilarious.
So The Hobbit.
God, son of a bitch. Don't ruin the story.
Don't ruin the
don't
story.
Don't ruin the story for
no
the book
spoilers.
That's been around for 80
the
years.
The story yeah. that's been around since 1942 or whatever it was.
I wasn't alive then, Keith. It's all new to me.
Anyway, I really liked it. I think they did some very... they made some interesting choices in when they changed things. I think all the things they changed were...
for the worse.
The changes that they made were all... were good, I think. I mean, they did some things... they did some things to... well, with a couple exceptions.
I mean, well, like we talked about, like, my general opinion is the stuff that is actually from the book is really well done and
yep.
really makes the movie.
Yeah.
And the stuff that's added is not, like... it's at least good enough that it doesn't ruin the stuff that was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there were some additions that I really liked. Peter Jackson is obviously making the attempt not to tell as much the story of the right. Hobbit as prequeling the War of the Ring.
Yeah.
Because the Hobbit really, that story, other than Bilbo finding the ring, which they don't make a huge deal out of,
right.
has Although, nothing to do with the War of the Ring.
Right. Riddles in the Dark is amazing, that scene.
Yeah.
It's probably
really good.
The best in the movie. Maybe.
And it was very well
it's
done.
The best part of the book, and it's definitely the best scene in the movie. Yeah.
Bilbo's being played by
Martin Freeman.
By Watson.
By Watson from Sherlock, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that was the one.
That's a really good cast.
That was the one thing they needed to do more than anything else was correctly cast Bilbo Baggins, and they did.
Yeah.
Not make a terrible decision like being like, we can CG Ian Holm to make him look younger. Like, that would have been a poor choice.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman was the correct
choice. I didn't realize that was Watson, but you're totally right.
Yeah.
And he did awesome.
Casting was all really good. The guy that plays Thorin is really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although I feel bad for the guy that plays the fat dwarf.
Bomber.
Like, how pissed are you at your agent when he's just like, I got this role in The Hobbit for you. And you're like, yeah, all right. What am I? And he's like, you're the fat dwarf. great. What are my lines? Do I have a lot of lines?
Well, no.
You belch and you fart.
And you stuff copious amounts of food
into your maw. Yeah.
Eventually, you'll get to fall asleep.
But it's The Hobbit, so you're probably going to make $200,000.
But what's your acting resume for the rest of your career?
I was that fat guy.
Yeah, that fat dwarf. So,
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting. In a movie like that, you really can't connect with all the dwarves. But a few of them, you really, really... I got a pretty good connection with.
Keeley and Feely were really good.
Yeah, they brought Thorin out front. They did some good stuff with Keeley and Feely. And then was it Biffer?
I like the fat one.
No, it was...
Bofur.
It was Gloin, right? Gloin was the older one that...
No. That was Dwalin.
Was it Dwalin? I thought it was Gloin that was like his older like right-hand man that was like telling all the stories about Thorin.
That's the one I'm talking about. I don't remember. I'm not positive on the name there.
Because he's the one with the son, right?
With the contract. The guy with the contract was the one.
Yeah, and isn't it his son that has the little pea shooter thing?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't think, from the original story, I don't think any of them were father-son related.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty sure it's Gloin and his son, Oin?
No, Gimli is the son of Gloin.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure this son is Gimli's, like, older brother or something like that.
Wow. But the fact that I can't remember his name is not there's so many dwarf names that they all jumble together, and they don't say them as often as they rhyme, to stick them in my head. But the guy who played the older dwarf, Thorin's right hand, was really a well-developed character.
He was really good. The guy that talked to Bilbo when Bilbo was ready to leave, and about talking about how he was...
Oh, yeah, that's
That
Bomber.
Was Boffer.
Bomber. Boffer. Boffer.
Boffer, yeah.
But I really enjoyed Boffer, too. I thought he was a really...
Yeah.
Just, he only had a few lines, but the actor that played him really nailed it.
I agreed.
Enjoyed it.
Josh and I agreed. The only scenes that I didn't care for very much were sort of when they got a little bit overexcited about their cinematography. And the special effects they could pull off. Like, the stone giants fighting was overdone to a point that was somewhat distracting. And then the escape from the goblin warrens was a little...
Particularly after the interaction with the Goblin King.
Yeah.
And the tumble down the...
And, I mean, in some ways it was okay because they were... That did help them capture the lightheartedness of The Hobbit.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Which, that was my other thing. The two things that I felt they needed to do correctly for this movie, for it to succeed, was cast Bilbo well and capture the tone of the story, which is not nearly as serious as The Lord of the Rings was. And they did both of those.
I agree.
And then all of their additions, like, though they added a whole new villain to the series, was necessary for story reasons. Like, you can't tell
in order to make it three movies.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If you first assume three movies, then the first one needs something to make it interesting.
Yes. I agree.
Plus, you get to see Bilbo kill a warg.
Yeah. They brought Galadriel back, which is awesome.
Always good.
As we discussed, I will always choose seeing Cate Blanchett over not seeing Cate Blanchett. So.
She is very elfy. Just nails that role. But anyway, it's worth seeing. You should go see it. Some people have said that it kind of drags, which I completely disagree with. I didn't feel like any of it drug.
No.
After it's 2 hours and 45 minutes, the movie ended, and I was like, and I knew it was coming because you're like, well, you know, it's coming. And you're like, oh, wow, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes already, which is exactly how I felt about The Lord of the Rings trilogy. It was just, you know, Lord of the Rings. I was just like, wow. You
Except
know?
For the end of Return of the King, which was too long.
Django, too. That movie was super long. But I was
just
still...
2 hours and like 50 minutes.
Yeah. And I was like, huh, I wonder when this is going to end. But then, and that only happened like once though, and then I got caught back up in the story, and I was...
I refuse to go to movies with people who tell me that they're like, oh, the movie is... They're like, didn't you see this movie's like 2 hours and 50 minutes long, or 3 hours? I'm not going to a movie that's like...
Well, we didn't know, and we went to the 10:25 showing, so we got out, and we were like, oh my god, it's 1:30.
Yeah,
like,
that's super late. I get that. I'm just saying, like, I've definitely met people... Who they'll be like, I don't want to go to that movie. It's like 3 hours long. And it's not because of the time of day that we're going. It's just because they can't watch
sit
a movie
still for that
like
long.
3 hours. And just, like that somehow is a negative quality.
My 10-year-old sat through that movie. And at the end of it, he's like, oh, man, I wanted to see the dragon. What was the dragon going to do?
Oh, I thought you were saying your 10-year-old sat through Django Unchained and I was going to call protective.
Dad, what's an N-word?
I do not coddle my children that much.
Yeah.
I do let them watch some things maybe they shouldn't, but I also
like
try.
Like Girl Next Door?
That movie I watched... Like, my cousin and I rented it, and we're just like, we are going to go to hell for watching
this movie.
That's
the one where she's the porn star, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
It's, what's the actress's name?
Oh, God. Elijah Dushku.
No, it's not Elijah Dushku.
It's Elijah's son.
Alicia Cuthbert.
The girl from 24. Anyway.
I was like, watched that movie and was just like, God, I'm going to go to hell for this. And then at the end, I was like, I feel good about this movie. Like, it's just not what you thought it was going to be at all.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's got a good,
It's a heartwarming story, but yes, I did let my boys watch that. Probably, hopefully, I'm glad my wife doesn't listen to this.
That movie has a great life lesson in it.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yes.
There are advantages to loose women.
All right. Has that been a podcast?
I'm just going to drop a teaser for our IKRPG.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, our group is amazing.
We've started a group of completely degenerate human beings.
It's very difficult to play them. Wow.
What was that a minute ago about hookers something? Are there hookers in your IKRPG campaign?
Timing.
Probably.
Not yet.
I just sort of assumed that at all the gambling venues, there are hookers.
Crump, if you want to join and be a hooker for our group, that'd be fine.
No. Wait, is Madeline... Can I be just like Madeline?
But no, we've got Josh Holt, who is our ex-Stormblade...
military officer.
Turned Robin Hood, gave up on that because they found out that the peasants were horrible people, too. Who's now just degenerated into just being an all-out only, like, the only person you can trust is yourself kind of a guy.
Yeah, and then when Josh was describing the character, he's like, think Danny Glover. I was doing this when you kids were blah, blah, blah.
He's got a bum knee.
He's got a bionic knee.
He and his horse both have bionic knees.
Yeah, they got shot by the cannon at the same place.
If he ever dies, one of you has to be like, oh, he was one day away from retirement.
And then
he should always be retiring tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. And then we've got this guy.
I am a ex-Signar ranger who... Or long gunner who got busted to a ranger who got busted to a trencher who said screw this and went with just it's too much work, and so he's a loyalist Signar, and that just gave him the excuse to desert. And then he realized that fighting along in the Venture cause was even more dangerous and even more work, so he's fallen into dens of ill repute. He's a gambling degenerate, but he is a marksman par excellence. So,
and I love taking his money.
Yeah. I was given 1,500 gold to start, and I am down in a single day.
Not a single session.
Yeah,
a session that was...
A single 24-hour period of time for my character. I am down to about 600 gold out of that 1,500.
Have you paid me yet?
Yeah, that includes paying you the 100. So we've got like a little Gimli Legolas thing going, and of course, Marshall put the fight where I had to shoot into a building while Fat Asian just got to charge in and kill a bunch more people. But he was still only up one living person on me.
I killed the Jag.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal. You said it only counts for one, and I agreed to that.
It does only count for one.
All right. And I also got robbed because Marshall made like 11 billion tough checks.
He made two.
Three. He made three on me.
He made two in one turn.
And then he made another one in another turn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's like three kills because the first two he made prevented me
and
from
two plus
procking
one
cleave.
Equals 11 billion.
Yes, that is correct.
I'm glad we agree.
That's Menoth math.
Yeah.
Well, that's Fat Asian math.
That's kind of like magic.
Well, what about your character then, John?
My character was a Morrowind knight who realized that there was just so much hypocrisy and that he thought knighthood was going to be like slaying dragons, protecting the weak. You know
how dragons work in the Iron Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean. Like,
your knight must be mentally retarded.
Slaying monsters.
Well, he's getting into a killing fight with a marksman sniper. Which,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You know. Well, he thought he was going to be like killing monsters, and then he realized that it's all a lie, and all knights do is like pomp and circumstance and shine their armor, and they don't really do much. And like, he got really disillusioned, so he became a cutthroat. And then
natural progression.
Yeah,
right? he just got fed up.
I hate my job. I'm gonna kill people. Yeah. It actually is a legitimate natural progression. Yeah. If you work for the postal,
yeah. Talk about it that way.
Yeah, he kind of went postal, but now he's just gotten to be a very dark and brooding character, and pretty much is an assassin for hire. And then haven't worked out all of his backstory.
John, how do you feel about your job in real life?
I love my job.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Very glad to hear that.
Yeah, you're in the line of fire down
very
there.
Very glad to hear that.
But it's pretty interesting because I love it when Defender procs, because Josh is like, he made, like, I didn't kill anybody in the first round of combat because Marshall made every tough check, so I didn't didn't get to proc cleave. But then Defender procced, and I killed a guy, and you were like,
"That was totally BS." I don't know why they attacked the guy that's camping and like 28 armor instead of attacking. I also don't know why they didn't leave the building, which was a death trap, so I could shoot them.
So
that's a good question.
Oh, man, that was fun. But, yeah, we have a little Legolas-Gimli thing going on. I'm Gimli. You're Legolas.
Yeah.
My character is the more level-headed, reasonable group member of the group. Started out life as a Sewell Menite, and I was raised and in some way drafted into the Protectorate Army because almost everyone is, or just killed out of hand because Menoth needs souls. And then at a certain age, my Warcaster talent manifested, and I was like, now they're really going to be taking advantage of me, so I better, I'm just going to leave. So I left, headed to Five Fingers, and just sort of life evolved to a point where the teachings of Thamar made more sense than anyone else's. So in addition to being a Warcaster, I picked up the Thamarite Advocate.
Out of the new Urban Adventures book?
Out of the new Urban Adventures book, because I also, me personally, anytime there's necromancy in a game, I'm usually on board. I was like, I can make thralls. I was like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. And I also saw the potential for a holy crap ton of armor stacked on a single character. And we started the game with a little bit of experience, so I picked up the Knight class as my third. So I've got a shield, Focus Camp, really good armor. And then from the new Thamarite class, I've got Ghost Shield and Soul Taker for another three armor. And then I've got, with my Thralls, I can activate Defensive Line. So I stack my armor up into the mid to high 20s most of the time. It's good stuff.
I get you lots of souls.
Yes. The souls, John generates souls for me, which I can then use to beat warjacks within an inch of their lives.
So John can kill him and get one more point up on.
I forgot my bonuses, otherwise it would have been a dead warjack.
How'd that go? 5-3. Is that how that
works? Okay. Like I said.
And I killed a Warjack. So it was.
Let's just wait till I get around to shooting before you can ever engage. You will never catch me.
But we were like looking through our characters, and like surely we qualify for some of these cool mercenary contracts. And we were going through, it's like, no, I don't. Neither the Stormblade or I qualify for that one. It's like, nope, neither the Stormblade or I qualify for that. Huh. Well, we can be the one that requires nothing at all. Or wait, hey, this Thamorite one only requires that one person be a Thamorite.
Ta-da!
So everybody else converted, and now we have an underground lair that we work from.
Right.
And hilariousness will ensue. We've only had the one session.
We've had one session, and it was amazing. And just pointing out...
I just hope this bounty hunting gig can pay...
Your gambling
for me to
debts.
Can pay for me to live long enough for me to get my professional gambling career off the ground, because that's my real passion.
So to be like the Phil Hellmuth of the IK.
I am the Phil Hellmuth.
Oh my god.
Of Imran. Yes.
I don't normally watch the GM's rolls, but watching Marshall roll 12 on two dice.
So Marshall is rolling like, he's rolling terrible to attack them in the building, and he's like not making these guys flee, so that I'm losing the contest to John. But when I gamble, Marshall's just like, boxcars. You lose 500 gold.
Boxcars again.
Yeah, boxcars again. Here's another 400 gold down the toilet.
So you are an exceptional gambler, sir.
I am.
And somehow you tried to blame it on me.
It was your fault. You took me away from the hot tables, and then I...
lost 900 bucks.
I hadn't lost any money. You took me away from the hot tables, like, early to go on this stupid quest, and I would have made, like, at least 500 gold if you hadn't taken me away from those tables, right? And then I went, and I lost 600 at the other place where the tables are cold, because I had to play.
No, those tables were badly rigged, and you failed to notice.
Exactly. They were badly rigged, and so effectively that's 1,100 gold I'm down because of you.
1,200 if you count the bet that we had.
Yeah. I'm blaming that 100 on the stupid people that stayed in that building.
Because the doorway was blocked by ravenous undead.
Look, the gobber managed to get out.
He got shot for it, too. Hey, just be glad Marshall made the tough checks. Otherwise, it wouldn't even have been
from
close.
From now on, you should just delay your action until after John goes.
Oh, no, yeah.
So you can just shoot people.
I can spend a fate point to ignore shooting into melee combat, so I'm actually just going to wait until John, like, puts damage on the guy, and then I'm just gonna be like, yeah, and finish him off.
Nice.
Oh my god.
How long before it gets to where you just shoot me? So
I
fall over. You could be like, all right, now that's done.
Yeah. Just right in the butt. Sorry.
Should be an alchemist so you can get like the knockout grenades. Just knock John out.
Knock you out. And
like
it goes,
BA. Yeah. Then, I pity the fool.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Just knock you out before and just clean up.
Well, my character is very fair and balanced. Doesn't take very many attacks. Doesn't do very much damage.
I still don't understand how your strength, powerful strength, like 17 or 18. It's ridiculous.
You're like, wait, what? You hit as hard as like a warjack?
He hits harder than the warjacks in this game. Like where the warjacks we're facing, like he hits harder than a warjack.
No mess.
And
with me.
And his damage is boosted. Okay, sorry. He hits harder than the steam jacks, than the labor jacks.
Well, that turned out to be more of a full discussion than it was a teaser for another time. So that's good. We got that out of the way. I think we're going to call that a podcast. If you stayed with us, thank you so much for listening.
You deserve an achievement.
Yeah. Ding, 10 internet points. You got the achievement. Listen to Muse on the Minis, episode 36.
Paint Vagrant needs to make a banner just for listening to this podcast.
If you didn't like this podcast, but you want to listen to real podcasts about War Machine, you can go to www.museonminis.com, and there's Crippled System.
And 35 other Muse on Minis.
Right. Road to War. What else is on there? Walter has a few. Team Atlanta.
And Mutineer Chronicles.
And the Mutineer Chronicles. So there's other podcasts that are actually of high quality, and unlike this one. So this was sort of a disaster.
This is the worst thing I've
so
ever been a part
go
of.
So go ahead and like those guys on Facebook. True.
No, like us on Facebook.
As well as Chain Attack.
No. You're doing it wrong. You're supposed to...
Wait, what?
You're supposed to like Muse on Minis on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And
All right.
We do a pretty good job interacting on Facebook when I'm on the internet. I have been on the internet for like 2 weeks, but I'll be back.
Yeah, I was surprised to see no. Yeah, what should we talk about today? on Facebook.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have saved us from
this. This is what happens.
Sorry we sucked.
Yeah, what you
said. Until next time.
Yeah. Well, this has been Fat Asian.
Keith.
Chad.
Crumb.
Josh.
You stay classy. Thank you.